Give me that phone. Devon Gibbons on 97.5, The Fanatic.
What's going on, y'all? 97.5, The Fanatic. 8 o'clock on this Tuesday. And so it begins. The long-awaited days in between the Super Bowl. After we have our reaction on Monday, following the game on Sunday, we now have to, again, sit here and wait and get ready for the Super Bowl. We have plenty of time to talk about so many different things because of the mere fact that they won't be playing until the 12th of February. So we have a long way to go as we get there. But I'm Devon Gibbons, first of all. Let me introduce myself. Hanging out with you until midnight on this Tuesday on The Fanatic, following Inside the Birds with Jeff Mosher and Adam Kaplan. Those guys getting ready for the Super Bowl themselves. They'll be there next week. Radio Row, Andrew DiCecco, you heard Drew with them. And it's going to be a great, great time as we hang out. We thank Ray Dunn, doing a great job, of course, producing their show, hanging out with us for a couple of minutes. Tom Alvord is hanging out here tonight as well. He'll be on a little bit as we go along with the show and most certainly get his thoughts with the leftovers at 11:45. We got a lot to get to with this Super Bowl in general because there's so much to talk about with where things are going to go with this football team. Again, hearing a lot of the 2017, 2022, what looks better, which one do you like the most, all that stuff. You hear that on The Fanatic. And then you hear so many other things when it comes to Andy Reid and all of that. And we'll tap into it all. We'll talk about the Sixers a little bit later. We'll get to them and their tough loss yesterday, which was unnecessary, but nothing to freak out about because it was what it was. And they'll be back on the floor tomorrow against those same Orlando Magic youngsters there and see if they can pick up a W and get ready for this road trip that they're going to have. As I look up at the TV and I see the Knicks and Lakers playing, and the Knicks will be hosting the Sixers later on in the week in New York. So it should be a fun time out there with the Sixers taking on the Knicks, the Celtics, and the Celtics again. And it's going to be a good stretch, I think. And next week will be the trade deadline. Also, the All-Stars, the reserves, they will be announced on Thursday. So Tom and I, we're going to give our 7 reserves on the West and Eastern Conference sides to kind of predict, since we have shorter show tomorrow because of the Sixers, we wrap around it. And then on Thursday, Cousins Corner is from 6 to 7. So when we get on, the announcement will just be happening, so we'll know who the reserves are. Sure, Joel Embiid will be both on both of our lists, obviously. So that's one that we know in the East that we'll take that one off the board. We'll see how close we get to, and then on Thursday we can look at it, or on Friday when we're together, we can look at it and say, all right, I got this one right, you got this one right, you got this one wrong, and that's where it went. But as far as the Birds go, there's so much to talk about here over the next 2 weeks with both teams, obviously, but we're going to start with the Eagles. We'll get to the Chiefs as we go along. Plenty to talk about there. Next week, we'll really start to break things down in terms of the game and what we need to see from the group. Right now, as Jeff said, right now we know that Kansas City is a really, really, really good football team. One of the best all year long. And same here with the Eagles. And they are really good. They are really good. We know. But when I look at them, I still believe that the Eagles will win this football game. I don't have a score. Don't have a prediction yet. I have 2 weeks to do so, so I'll get to that later. But I do believe that they're going to win the game. But when we look at talking about them winning the game, we look at the roster. It was one of the things that when we looked at San Francisco, they had such an advantage in certain spots. While they had great skill people and a great defense, the Eagles had great skill people on the offensive side and a great defense, as we know, the top two defenses in the NFL. But they had the quarterback advantage. Even if Jimmy Garoppolo was playing and starting, the Eagles would have had the quarterback advantage because Jalen Hurts was an MVP candidate. That's just how it goes. It's not taking anything away from Garoppolo. We just look at the what they have and who is better at each position and where they are stronger in those position groups, and that would have been the case. But when you look at the team and you look at, all right, Dallas, if they were going to be the matchup instead of San Francisco, you look at their team, they have a lot, but they're lacking in this. You look at what else is going on in the NFC. Minnesota, superior offense led by Justin Jefferson, Dalvin Cook, and even trading for TJ Hockenson. The quarterback position is a question mark because he's like that mid-tier quarterback. He can put up a lot of numbers, and he can put up a lot of numbers the other way for the opposing team. but they also lack on the defensive side of the football, where they're just simply not as good. And that's where we start to get into the conversation of one of the things that separates the Philadelphia Eagles from all of these teams, including their opponent in the Super Bowl, is the overall depth and the strength of this roster, which is the depth, because they have so many pieces up and down their 53-man roster where you are looking for weaknesses and saying, oh, okay, Kaiser White, that's a weakness there, and Marcus Epps. Of the 22 starters, you're looking at two on the defensive side that have had okay seasons, not enough to complain about in season, because they have so much everywhere else. And I raised my hand at the beginning of the year when I said that they were a 10 or 11 football team and they lose Derek Barnett. I said, man, this is not good for a detractor like myself of Derek Barnett. This is not good because I didn't think the depth was good enough. And then all of a sudden, while I knew across the entire defensive line they were that good, they end up with four players with over 10 sacks and 70, which is, I think, top three all time in the NFL with total number of sacks for one football team in one season. Now, albeit they had an extra game or two because of the schedule, 17 games, they have an extra game versus the 16 that we're accustomed to, but those are the rules. It is what it is. They have this. They have the 70 sacks in the 17 games. That's just how it goes. So when we start to evaluate the Eagles, not just for right now, but also for the future, and I wish I would have had a chance to talk to Jeff about this as he had a break and before he left, and I didn't throw it at him. I always like to throw the topics that Tom and I come up with, throw them at Jeff, and we have our little side talk about these things. The Eagles are positioned very well for obviously the present, because they are in the Super Bowl, but in the future, how good are they positioned going forward with this football team? Because there's an argument that when you look at Buffalo, these are the top teams that we'll look at, obviously playoff teams that we know of that are very strong. Buffalo, Cincinnati, Dallas, Kansas City, Philadelphia, and basically stop there, really, with the teams that you look at and may call elite. At that point, you stop and say, okay, outside of them, once again, Buffalo, Cincinnati, looking at Kansas City, Dallas, because they have talent, Philadelphia, and from there on, San Francisco, yes, there aren't many teams that are in this position where we look at them and say that, hey, these are the squads you're going to have to worry about. Every year there's one team. Look at what Detroit did. Look at what Washington did to sneak back in there. Look at what New York did, the Giants and the Jets, both of them, to sneak in the way that they did and perform at a very high level where they were borderline playoff teams or did make the playoffs in the case of the New York Giants. Miami also has talent too, so I don't want to leave them out. But when you're looking at the 32 teams in the NFL, there's an argument that the Eagles, especially at the most important spots, including coaching and the front office, are better positioned of all the 32 teams right now in the National Football League because of their talent base, their coaching staff, which are all young. And while they are inexperienced, they pick up a playoff experience last season. They pick up two games and a Super Bowl this season. They will have enough experience going into next year. And the front office, where one was already rewarded, I think it was the Associated Press one, where Howie Roseman won Executive of the Year again. So as we start things off here tonight, and certainly things will transition into the Kansas City Chiefs because it's the Super Bowl, and this is what we're talking about with the Eagles, it is going to get to the Chiefs. It's going to get to the Bills, the Bengals, the Dolphins, Cowboys, 49ers. There would be so many teams to talk about, including the Chargers, who just picked up a pretty decent offensive coordinator now to go with their offensive skill people that they have, a franchise quarterback, and may make them better, but they have some things to do also on the defensive side. When you look at the Philadelphia Eagles right now in the present, and also kind of forecast the future. And we know that there are free agents that are going to be needed to be re-signed. They're going to have to figure out some things like Miles Sanders and Kaiser and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, James Bradbury. They also have two first-round picks with 10 and 31. And with all of that, they're going to be able to either stack more depth with their cupboard of people that they have, either on the defensive or offensive side, or make a move where they possibly move one or two of those picks and go get another player like they did last year with A.J. Brown and how they were able to acquire him via trade. And when you listen to what Jeff and Adam were talking about and how they did things by acquiring players through the trade, players in free agency, and getting these players to come in here, they have possibly built up the best roster, and not only for the current, as we talked about, but also for the future, where they are best set up than any of the other teams in the NFL going forward. You have your franchise quarterback. You have your franchise quarterback. You have your skill people on the outside from Smith, Brown, and Goddard included that. That's 26 and under. Miles Sanders, whether he comes back or not, they have a decent running back room. The offensive line, albeit older because of what Kelsey and Johnson have in terms of their ages, we at least know if Kelsey leaves, Johnson isn't going anywhere. The Isaac Seumalo part, we don't know. We'll find out, but it never seems to be a problem to put a guard in any place that opens up along that offensive line, not only because of the identifying of the talent, but also the talent that they'll be playing with on that offensive line. Three all-pros on the offensive line, by the way. Your left guard, your center, and your right tackle. So there's talent there on the defensive side. While guys are getting older, as we know, they do have Haason Reddick. They have, yes, the still Darius Slay. They have Avante Maddox locked up. Marcus Epps is a younger player. As much as we may have looked at him and said, all right, well, he made a mistake here, he made a mistake there, he made a mistake there, he was still a part of arguably the best defense in the NFL. His name wasn't called enough where we were screaming at the top of the entire Empire State Building in New York where they lit it up after the Eagles won to say, get another safety. He was perfectly fine back there. And if Chauncey Gardner-Johnson is back with him, you're probably looking at that duo saying you still feel very comfortable with what they have. And with Stoutland there, as we talked about the offensive line and what he does, and so many others on that defensive side, sure, you're going to have to make a decision on Brandon Graham. But guess what? Josh Sweat is still there. Derek Barnett, can't stand him. We all know that. But I can't complain about him this year. He didn't do anything wrong. He's part of the depth. And he signed a two-year contract. So he's coming back off the ACL with one more year. So that's another year. Hargrave, Milton Williams stepping up for what he has been. Looking at the linebacker position where TJ Edwards has established himself at least for one voting thing where I saw him first-team All-Pro at the linebacker position. I'm not there, but he should be back as a starter for this team. And if Kaiser White goes, look at all the people who are excited to finally see N'Kobe Dean on the field. So I say all of that to say, and I pointed out the coaches already, we know what Howie Roseman has done, and certainly he's locking up your franchise quarterback for multiple years, and he's going to get paid. You better believe that. I don't know what they're going to do because he is one of those dudes that you never know. He could take, obviously, the big money, the big-time money, which he should, and then the guy might surprise you and say, you know what, shave a little bit off the top so we can do this here. Also, he shouldn't, but, you know, that's the type of guy, at least, that he seems to be as a person, as a player who is also going to get paid. So as we start things off tonight, certainly the Super Bowl conversation will come up. This is why we're still able to talk about the way that we are talking about it. Not to get into the offseason, but more of talking about how well-shaped this football franchise is going forward. When they won the Super Bowl in 2017 and in 18 in the calendar year, February 18, we were looking at them thinking that they could be back. Franchise quarterback Carson Wentz had the questions, right? Torrey Smith, Alshon Jeffrey, all of that type of stuff. Were the other guys going to be back? Who knew what was going to happen with that roster? They had, as I heard Jeff mention, Jalen Mills, Patrick Robinson, and Ronald Darby. We mentioned those guys last night because I have always been screaming. And Jeff mentioned for 20 years, I've been screaming to get a corner. And what did Howie Roseman do? He goes out and he gets Darius Slay. Now he's hitting 30 now, and you're going to have to start to get a younger player in there to start to groom. Maybe with that number 10 pick, we'll see. But they, after 2017 winning, we were hopeful. And we felt that Doug Peterson was going to be here a while. Carson Wentz was going to be here a while. We were hopeful that those things were going to happen, but we also knew that there were some flaws there. Now, Fletcher Cox was there, Brandon Graham. Derek Barnett was a young player that you looked at coming off the edge thinking, oh, man, this dude's going to be he's going to wreak havoc. And they had some questions. Rodney McLeod was still here. You had some good people, but we thought they were trending in the right direction. Were they going to be a Super Bowl team again? We didn't know, but they were trending in the right direction. With this one, and as all the conversation has been going about the 17 versus this year's team, and so many people liking this team more, loving the situation because that was the first Super Bowl, that was the first championship, so that might be your favorite. But the favorite team itself might be this one because, again, how deep they are, how good the players are. You like Nick Sirianni now. We're not hearing crap about Jonathan Gannon after giving up only 14 points through two games. And if he does it again in the Super Bowl, there's nothing else to say, right? They are possibly better positioned than any football team going into the next season and maybe even a few more seasons after that. So as you are football fans that I know you are and how much you love the NFL, how much you love your Philadelphia Eagles, when you look at the Philadelphia Eagles right now in their current situation and forecasting the future, is there any NFL franchise better set up for the present and the future than your football team? 610-632-0975. Jeffrey Lurie is in charge. Howie Roseman just seems to be making all the right decisions. The same thing with the coaching staff. Your quarterback doesn't turn the football over. He's about to get paid. They have so many pieces and so many weapons that are here in town that will most likely be here going forward for quite some time. They're in a pretty good spot. They're in a much better spot after no matter what happens in this game on February 12th than where they were coming off of that first victory in Super Bowl 52. After 57, we hope that we're talking about two championship victories in 5 years, not just two appearances, but two victories. And I believe right now with the grouping that is there currently and what is also going to be here going forward, Howie Roseman hitting on everything and hitting on everything the right way, there's no reason for me to believe that he won't continue, especially with these two first-round picks upcoming, the picks that they have beyond the first round, that they're going to be able to do some really, really special things going forward. They're not taking a step back is basically what I'm saying. This team is going to be in the mix. We had a caller last night point out how the Eagles will be a dynasty after this one. And we were like, no, not a dynasty yet. You got to win multiple, not just two. You got to win multiple for where it's sustainable going forward. Now, I'm not saying that, but what I am saying is they will be in the mix because it's not easy to do what the Patriots were able to do for so many years. Not easy to do. But this team is positioned very, very well, the present and the future. Do you agree? If not, how are you approaching and looking at this situation right now for your football team? All right, the phone numbers, 610-632-0975. It will be organic for the Super Bowl to come up because we're talking about the entire league. We're talking about the Eagles. So we'll certainly talk about the Eagles and the Chiefs next Sunday going for the championship and hopefully locking in, as I just mentioned a short time ago, their second Super Bowl title in 5 years. That's crazy because I didn't see it coming. Last year, they accelerated things, didn't think that they were that type of team, didn't expect them to beat Tampa Bay. They did not. Had my questions. Did not want Russell Wilson. Did not want Derek Carr. Aaron Rodgers, maybe I did a little bit, but I also said that because the buzz was picking up that there was at one point, hey, they're trying for this veteran quarterback. There's a sneaky team. Watch out. They might be in on Aaron Rodgers. After the season ended, though, I said very clearly, I want to see what Jalen Hurts does. They're not ready to win a Super Bowl. I want to see what type of player he is. This is before the A.J. Brown stuff. This is before Jordan Davis, Bradberry, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. All of those things. Before all of that, I said, I want to see what he has. I want to see who he is, see if he can lead because they're not ready to win. Then, because we knew about the Saints pick. We already knew about the Saints pick already. Let's see. Let's figure it out. Let's see. If they have to do something there with that one, do they have to draft someone? Do they trade for another player, a veteran quarterback that's come in and get things started and kickstart this thing again? No, the guy did what he did. The guy did what he did, and he's now going to be a franchise player. And right now, at least, he's the top five quarterback in the NFL based on how the season ended. All right, 610-632-0975. We'll get to the phones. We'll get all you in. Nate is calling in. Nate was with us last night. Couldn't hang on before the game because we were up against it. I definitely want to get Nate in here. We got John. We'll get all the tweets. We'll get Tom's thoughts. We have a side topic that's pretty funny because of something that we listened to yesterday and dove into it a little bit more today. A little fun side topic that we'll have because we do have 4 hours of run with you tonight. So I'm going to take a quick break. We come back to Nate. We'll get to John. We'll get to everybody else. 610-632-0975. Is there any NFL franchise better set up for the present and for the future than your Philadelphia Eagles, who will be in the Super Bowl in 2 weeks facing the Kansas City Chiefs? Is there any NFL franchise better set up than your football team? We're discussing it to kick things off here. We'll get into the Chiefs. We'll talk about the Sixers later. The Joel Embiid disrespect that we saw a little bit later, too, today. We'll dive into it all on this Tuesday night, running until midnight. Devon Givens with you on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, 8:30. Oh, it's beautiful to come back to Nas there, huh? Hang a little 31. On the San Francisco 49ers in their win on Sunday. Sights now set on the Super Bowl and the Kansas City Chiefs. But before we get to that, we want to talk about the teams in general and how the Eagles fare when it comes to everyone else in the league. Are they best set up for the present and the future? We're going to start with Nate here in just a second. So, Nate, give us one more second here because I did want to get Tom in here real fast as he presents his case. Also on a team possibly, or teams maybe set up a little bit better than the Eagles going forward. Tom, good evening.
What's going on, man?
We got a long time before the Super Bowl.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, but we got enough things to talk about. To get into. We get some basketball stuff a little bit later on. A little NFL news that's out there. Sean Payton, of course, we'll talk about that. But are the Eagles better set up than anybody else in the NFL, present and future?
They're set up tremendously. I'll start with that. And if we were having the same conversation a year ago, I don't know if they rank top 10 potentially, because you didn't know what you had with Nick Sirianni long term. You didn't know what you had with Jalen Hurts long term. So there was building blocks there, and you always had, of course, Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman. But we look back a year ago with the same question. They're probably not even in the top 10. Right now, they're number 3 for me. And that's not an insult. That is not a negative.
Not at all.
I hope people don't take it that way. To be the third best setup franchise in the NFL for the present and the future going forward is a pretty damn good scenario to be in. The two teams I have ahead of them are two teams who were playing last weekend, and one of them we are playing this weekend. Next weekend, excuse me. I know, it's going to be tough saying that. I'll start first with the Kansas City Chiefs. I have the Kansas City Chiefs ahead of the Philadelphia Eagles when it comes to the present and future, how they're set up, for two big reasons. Andy Reid, one of the greatest coaches of all time.
That he is.
Argument,
Hall of Famer.
What, top 5 coach of all time, maybe even higher than that?
Yep, Hall of Famer.
Still in his prime. I don't think Andy Reid will ever not have a prime when it comes to being a head coach in the NFL. And the quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. I think if Jalen Hurts was healthy this year, he should have been the MVP of the league this season. I believe that, and I've said it many times. Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs have been to, what, 5 straight AFC championship games?
Amazing.
They have a Super Bowl. The dude, you could argue, is a Hall of Famer if he retires 2 weeks from now. As good as Jalen Hurts is, and I believe he's a top 5, top 3 quarterback in this league going forward, Patrick Mahomes to me is number 1. And in my opinion, I don't think it's close right now. I know there's arguments about Burrow. I know Allen was in that conversation. Rodgers and Brady obviously are not on the way down a little bit. But to me, I think Patrick Mahomes is no doubt number one quarterback in the NFL. You have him in his prime with that head coach and that front office that has been rock solid. That is the reason they are number one to me. Number two, and this is very, very slim. Very, very slim between number two and number three. I have the Cincinnati Bengals. Cincinnati Bengals, who were a dumpster fire for a lot of my life growing up, were not good. Always 500 or worse. Andy Dalton, Marvin Lewis, I believe was the name of the head coach there. Just could never get it done. And then what falls into their lap? Joe Burrow, maybe the coolest quarterback that has ever walked the earth. If not, Jalen Hurts is one, then Joe Burrow is number two when it comes to coolness. But Joe Burrow has been to two AFC championship games in the last two seasons, has been to a Super Bowl in the last two seasons, and is going to finish second in MVP. So the reason that Bengals are number two over the Eagles is because their quarterback, the most important position in football. Well, you could argue Hurts was better this year, and I believe he was. Burrow has done it more. He's done it one season more. He's gotten there to the AFC championship game twice. He's gotten to a Super Bowl already. He's going to finish second in MVP voting. And then I look at Zach Taylor as the head coach, who seems to be doing a pretty damn good job over there. I look at the skill position players in T. Higgins and in Ja'Marr Chase. For me, it's very, very close. But because their quarterback has done it one more year than Jalen Hurts and reached the height of the heights one more year than Jalen Hurts, that's why the Bengals are number two for me. Then it's the Eagles. Bills can't be in the conversation for me. They haven't gotten it done.
Nope.
Josh Allen's a hell of a talent. They haven't gotten it done. Everyone wants to crown Justin Herbert, and I'm a huge Justin Herbert guy. He hasn't won a playoff game yet. 49ers, they don't have a quarterback. Their head coach probably doesn't know what's going on at quarterback next season for them. So there's a lot of good teams around. Cowboys, not even a question. Get out of here. But to me, Chiefs 1, Bengals 2, Eagles 3. A year from now, if Jalen Hurts is having the same type of season and we're right back in this scenario, I believe the Eagles leap the Bengals. But right now, just because it's only been 1 year of the Eagles doing this, I have the Bengals over the Eagles, personally.
Okay. All right. So that's where we'll begin. I have Cincinnati 1, Philadelphia 2.
Since he won.
Yeah. I have Cincy 1, Philadelphia 2. I might flip-flop that and go Eagles 1, Cincy 2, but Kansas City is 3 for me. And, yes, Patrick Mahomes, obviously with Andy Reid. Right now, the defense with the Eagles puts them over the top because of what they have defensively as already having a top three defense in the league. We already know what the offense is that we think can compete with them at least during the regular season, and we will find out how much they can compete in a head-to-head matchup. Cincinnati, as you know and people know, I love them. As the AFC team that I really enjoy watching, Joe Burrow, Joe Mixon, T. Higgins, all that, their defense is a little bit better than I think people realize. But the Eagles are right there. So in that case, I guess I really am putting the Eagles number one and Cincinnati 2, Kansas City 3. So I'll go that way, and I'll stick there. Eagles 1, Cincinnati 2, Kansas City 3. Folks, we want to hear from you. Get your thoughts. 610-632-0975. There's no wrong answer. It's all hypothetical. It's all hypothetical. Sure. And they're all good. Like, really good.
Absolutely. They're all tremendous. All tremendous franchises, all tremendous players, all tremendous coaches, all that. That's, like, the only reason. Again, a year from now, and the Eagles have this same type of success, I'm probably putting them at number one. But just because it's only been 1 year of the Eagles doing this, of Nick Sirianni doing this, Jalen Hurts doing this, and I have multiple seasons of Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and Zach Taylor doing it, that's why right now, to me, those two teams are ahead of the Eagles. But I'm not going to argue with you. They're right there.
It's tough, yeah. 610-632-0975. How do you feel? I just saw a picture of Anthony Harris holding up the trophy from the championship game. I forgot he was on the team. It's just no disrespect. I just forgot. I just totally forgot. All right. Let's go to,
he was elevated. That
he
counts.
Was elevated. There you go. Let's go to Nate. Start things off here in Southwest on 97.5 The Fanatic on this Tuesday night. What's up, Nate?
What's going on with you, bro?
How you doing, man? Oh, man.
I'm all right, man. I'm good, bro. I'm good. I'm happy. You already know, bro. Like, I can't wait to, you know what I mean, to get out there. You feel me? So,
yeah. Are you going?
Oh, for sure.
Oh. What? Oh.
Come on, bro. I booked that the other day, yesterday, actually, bro.
Now, are you going just for the atmosphere, or are you going because you got the tickets for the football game, too?
No. I got the job. I got the package with the game. So I'm going.
Oh,
it's waiting for me, bro.
Is this with Philly Sports Trips?
No, this was on location.
Oh, okay. Okay, I got you. Location. All right.
So we went because, you're not a fast Philly Sports Trip went out. Bro, they sold out quick.
Yeah.
Vince
does a great job with that. I'm supposed to go. It's funny because I'm supposed to go to Brooklyn for the Sixers Nets next weekend with Vince and Philly Sports Trips. And I'm imagining that a lot of people are going to be in Arizona already.
Absolutely. But I tried to get on with you last night, but I couldn't,
Yeah.
But, bro, I was kind of disappointed with that loss, man. I'm going to get back. Yo, I ain't trying to gloat on that. You my man. You already know. But I remember myself sitting on a couch in the basement a couple of years ago. And I called into my man and said, bro, that's a good pick for us right there. And my man said, I got to see. You know what I mean? I don't know. We got to win.
Are you talking about the Jalen Hurts part? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, listen, man. I remember. So when you say it, make sure you share with the people just the context of it, which was nothing against him. Don't want him right there.
Correct. Absolutely.
It was more about, hey, they need more stuff than a quarterback after you just signed this other guy to a franchise deal. Get me a corner. I still need this defensive end that was sitting there. Or I want the safety that's sitting there. That was the whole thing. Never anything against Jalen Hurts, but I definitely didn't think he could do this. I didn't think he could do this, though.
Absolutely. And that was the way the conversation went. Nate, I think we need this. But I'm like, all right, I still like to pick, as for me. But, man, I can't be more excited for that young man. And I really hope he go down there and don't let me down because I don't want to waste no money. I want to be able to be out there partying.
But the experience itself will be dope leading up to it. The game itself will be a competitive game. And if they win, that's just the gravy on top, which we all think that they will.
Absolutely, man. But, bro, I think, to be honest, I understand the Cincinnati and the Kansas Cities and, all that. I still think we the number one team set up. I think we best set up for what we want to do and what's about to happen for the next couple of years. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, bro, I'm still in shock and awe that, that even happened the other night, bro. So.
It was great, man. So
yeah.
I saw your video, but you were at home and saw you hanging out with your folks. But the experience was great, I was there.
Yeah.
It was great to hang out in the building. At first, I wasn't going to go, and then a couple of friends of mine, they offered me a ticket, and I did take it, and I was
too. Sure.
Yeah, I went, and it was great. It was great to experience that, and hopefully now, I don't know if I'll be in Arizona, but hopefully now they can wrap this thing up.
So I got to experience that in 2004. I was on the field, holding the flag, because I was in the military then.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, hopefully nothing compares to if I go out here and we win this joint and the city just get taken over by all Eagles fans.
How do you feel at the moment?
Oh, at the moment, I really believe we should be favored by at least four, but they got us at two. So I think you need to go up a little bit more, but it is what it is, man. I have all faith in that defensive line and all faith in Stoughton University. You hear me? Because
mm-hmm.
they was manhandling Bosa like he was a little rag doll. And I'm like, wow.
I saw some of those other videos, man. And my goodness, the way that they were just pushing those dudes around.
That's why Greenlaw got so mad. Like, we can't do nothing. Then Trent Green run over and he's slamming little dudes. Like, but listen, real quick, when Sue got in his face, he backed down real fast.
I think that's the respect thing of, because it didn't look like Sue was trying to get into an altercation. I think that was an experienced veteran, two dudes that had respect for each other going up against each other for years. And he's like, yo, what are you doing? Chill out. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, you're doing too much, bro.
I'll give a quick story since I was there, and then I'll let you go.
Okay.
We got John, Eric, and Kev, Hev, Kyle, everybody coming up. I don't even think I told Tom this. I always talk about when I'm at the game, I'm always with Brian Westbrook. And his brother was there too, Byron, if you remember.
Byron Breslow played for the Redskins.
Yeah, exactly. He was there with Trent Williams. And he was like, so we all sitting there, and he was like, as soon as something happened, you knew it was him in the middle. And that's just how he was. He was like, that's how crazy he was. He would stand up for your teammates like no other, and he's the strongest dude he had ever been around, and he will lift anybody up off
the
field.
Well, he played with him, though, right?
Yes, that's why he was saying it, yeah. Right. Yep, absolutely. He was his rookie, actually. Trent Williams was, yeah. And he explained, and he was like, I knew it was him. I knew it was him, and it was hilarious because, boy, did he lift Kayvon Wallace up like it was no problem at all.
We just need to get back on track tomorrow, bro. If we get back on track tomorrow,
they'll be fine.
We'll be all right, bro. Yeah. Hey, as in the words of Doc Rivers, schedule lost. You know what I'm saying? Y'all partying at the NFC.
That was the schedule. Game. Yep, they partied.
All right,
man. Really appreciate it.
Whether you like it or not.
Take care.
You got it, man. You too, man. Really appreciate it. Yeah, schedule lost because they were having themselves a good time. On Saturday, early game. Sunday, early game. They had plenty of time to go out there and enjoy themselves.
Let's be honest, too. It was an emotional weekend. Not just for the city and the Eagles, but for them. That was a huge win on Saturday.
Yeah.
Probably the biggest win of the season. At least emotional win like that. Home crowd, MVP versus should have been MVP. It's all right to have a letdown game. Let's see how they respond tomorrow.
Same issue
tomorrow, then we're having a conversation. I don't think that happens.
They'll be fine. They'll be fine tomorrow. Latest in space on Twitter, like real latest in space. My man Roy comments on their tweet, breaking 56 minutes ago. Rare green comet now closely approaching Earth and will be visible starting at 6:49 p.m. Eastern Standard Time tomorrow night. Roy responds, 49-6, Eagles. Devon Givens with you till midnight. John is next from Jersey. What's up, John?
What's going on, Devon? What's going on? I always bring this up, man, how we met. It still leaves a bad taste in our mouth on Father's Day, game 7 against Atlanta. And when Ben Simmons,
didn't
go off for that layup and everything just turned.
I remember everything about that day.
You know what happened, brother.
I remember everything about it. June 20th.
Yes, sir.
Everything about it. Father's Day.
Man.
That
was a killer. I want to talk Eagles, but I want to make a point about I did watch Embiid drop that 47.
47. 18 rebounds.
And, man, he'd come down to court, Devon. I'd be like, don't shoot it again. Don't shoot it again. There was a stretch where he hit those three or four jumpers in a row. One of them was a three.
Yep.
I said, man, this guy, man, he's going to shoot us out the game. But he was feeling it. He was playing yoke.
He wasn't missing.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't missing, man. But he always plays well with Jokic. When Jokic is in, he matches up against him, he has a point to prove. But the thing is, if he would bring it like that every night or most nights, I'll say most nights he does, but
it's just more the effort and the approach is more.
Right.
Yeah, the approach.
He takes time off. He takes that, but talking birds, I was at the NFC Championship game. I was at the Dallas Giants game and through the regular season game. Let me tell you something. That NFC Championship game, watching the Niners just give up and seeing Bosa, I'm in section 110, row 14, with his hands on his hips. They were like, man, just get that plane fueled up and be ready so we can get back to San Fran. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, him and his brother. The Eagle fans were giving it to his brother outside and while he was in the box.
He was giving it to him. And when you were saying about who set up the best, I agree with you. I wouldn't even put Cincinnati second, maybe KC. But
KC?
Overall,
okay.
The one guy I was talking pretty much strictly quarterbacks with the experience. And let me tell you something. I wouldn't even go with Mahomes, but not even Burrow's over Hurts, man. Hurts, man, what he did in 1 year, but he still has so much more room to grow. He's still so young. But what the Eagles have set up with their draft picks, with the guys that they already had signed, I would be okay with letting Miles Sanders go, even though I like him. He's in the contract.
It just depends on how much money it is, yeah.
Hey, right, but we can get a running back out of college. I like these two defenders. Everybody wants Will Anderson out of Alabama, of course. He's going to be a top pick. But there's a guy, Miles Murphy, man. an edge rusher out of Clemson. This guy's 6'5", 280, and runs like a ridiculous 4'5", strength, speed, everything. Howie Roseman is going to use, if you know that we got an extra pick from the Saints, right, because the Saints record. So we got an extra first-round pick. What I would do with that pick is I would move it back. I would not necessarily take it. I would move it back and package the pick and pick up an additional three picks, you know, two or three picks with that pick. So I would trade down with that pick. This way you can replace some guys that you're going to possibly lose due to free agency and not being able to sign them.
Yeah, so I'm very curious to see how that goes because of the fact that we saw some numbers that came out yesterday. I think it's more like 16 extra million next year for the salary cap in the NFL. So I wonder how Howie will maneuver things with the fact that you're going to have so much with the number 10 overall pick with that money, paying Jalen, all that stuff. The one thing that we can guarantee, and I think Tom will agree with this one, John, is Lane Johnson will take another pay cut. or Justice is... It restructures his contract once again because he always does it. It's like a tradition at this point that he'll do that. But listen, man, I mean, look, there's no wrong answer, but hey, you know, they're set up really well. How you feeling early on about the Chiefs-Eagles Super Bowl?
Hey, listen, I'm not worried. I heard all year, I heard about this team, that team. We heard about Bosa and the number one defense. Now we're hearing about Chris Jones and you know, this, that, and third. Our offensive line, man, is so damn athletic and so strong and so versatile, you know. What we can do, and Hurts, man, being that, freezing those linebackers, man, when he can decide with the RPO, and it's like that confuses them and freezes them. And we got so many weapons. This is the best Eagles team talent-wise by far, man. I'll be 52. And, yeah, it's, man, listen, ain't going to be no easy win. You're not going to hold the Chiefs to – 7 points or 10 points. You're not going to do that. They're going to score. Now, we don't want them scoring 50. But one thing about our offensive line, if you look at our margin of victory, too, we beat teams by the average margin of, like, 20 points all year long. We can score with the best of them.
No, I know. I know.
I'm not worried about a shootout. We can score. So I'm not worried about it. And our defense.
That's our the defense question. Will they be able to sustain? And listen, thanks, John. Really appreciate it.
Yes,
good
sir.
To hear from you, man. Will they be able to sustain and keep up with the points? We know they've been doing it all season long. Teams do have off games where they don't score as much as they used to or give up more points than they're. Like the 49ers, for an example, they gave up 31 to the Eagles this weekend. As part of getting away all the nonsense of the quarterback being knocked out and they had to play their fourth string quarterback and so many other things that went into it, making the excuses. I mean, the bottom line is that they gave up 31 points. They had a really bad defensive day when it came down to it. After the second quarter, where they tied it up at 7, they had a bad game against the Raiders, where they gave up 34 to Jarrett Stidham, and Devontae Adams went nuts. But they gave up 34. It's a bad day, but there's also good game planning on the Raiders' side. It's also good game planning on Shane Steichen and how he went the way he went when the pass wasn't working. You know what they did? We know we can run the football, and it worked. And it worked in a big way. The defense got the turnovers. We talked about it. Win the turnover battle. They were +2 in that category where it didn't hurt them at all. And they walked away. Time of possession, I think it was 37-22. And with, of course, the time beyond the seconds on each side to make it the full 60 or something, whatever it was. But it was a big number. It was a big margin. And that's what the Eagles, that's what they do. We know what Kansas City can do. Nobody's disrespecting Kansas City. They're in the Super Bowl, too, for a reason. That's how good they are. This is going to be a fun game. This is going to be a fun game. Two teams that we both believe, Tom and I, that are built very well for the future. 610-632-0975. Eric in South Philly. Hev, Kyle, Randall. Two open phone lines for the first time in a bit. Hang tight. We'll come right back. We'll get to you. And we'll introduce our fun side topic on this Tuesday night. It's going to be a fun one. I think you'll all like it. Because I can't wait to, quite frankly, hear the stories. You got to have a story with it. I can't wait to hear the stories behind what we're going to ask you for our side topic. I'm Devon Givens. Tom Alvord is here. He'll have leftovers at 11:45. We'll talk about the Sixers a little bit later. And we'll give our 7 reserves for the All-Star picks that will be announced on Thursday, as always, on TNT. We'll give our 7 reserves. I haven't even started, so I need to do it.
Me either.
All right. Seven reserves for the All-Star game. Since we won't be together on Thursday, we want to put our picks out there. Do that early right here on this Tuesday night, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Javon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back. 901-975 The Fanatic. Javon Givens, 610-632-0975. Talking about the Eagles, yes, of course, the Super Bowl, but different little angle as they are here now. And not many people expected after the 9-8 year, the exit in the first round, playing, well, the wild card matchup, pardon me, playing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and losing. Not many people expected this to happen. There were some, and I will give the people credit who did have that. And I was not one of them. I thought that they would be right there in contention for the division. Number one seed, didn't see it. Super Bowl, definitely did not see that. And here we are getting ready for Super Bowl 57, and they're taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. But with all that said, wanted to look at this whole thing in regards to the NFL in general. And where they are, where they rank in the NFL, not just now, but going into the future of who they are, how they are set up, where they are set up very, very good. And Tom and I, we just simply talked about, we had a couple of callers, Nate talked about it, and they are set up where they're probably in the top three. Whatever order you have them, they're probably top three when you look at the roster, the coaching, the front office, all of that stuff, they're probably top three. And the one thing that stands out, Tom, is, well, at least they're number one in the NFC. They may not be number one overall in the NFL in your eyes. They're in top three, but they're number one in the NFC, meaning if they do everything that they should be back maybe a couple of more times following this visit for the Super Bowl 57.
And I'm trying to think of when an NFC team pops into the conversation. Because I mean, like San Fran, the roster is loaded, great coach, all that. They don't have a quarterback. Like, they think they might have something in Purdy. The dude was a 250th pick overall. Like, is he
going to
be?
They're going to try to upgrade that.
That's what I mean. So, like, it's tough to say right now. Now, 2 months from now, they go out and trade for Aaron Rodgers. This is a different story. But, like, I don't know. I look at the Bills I have ahead of any NFC team. You could potentially have the Ravens if they figure out the Lamar Jackson situation. The Jaguars, potentially. Might be a little while till you get to an NFC team. You're right.
Yep, absolutely. All right, before we get to Eric, who's going to jump in here, let's play this audio that's going to set up our side topic for tonight. This is from the, and we were just talking about him off the air, and it for a different thing, but talking about Shannon Sharpe, who I don't watch these debate shows. I think everybody who follows me knows that I do not watch Get Up. I do not watch, what's this one called?
First Take.
He's with Skip.
First Take and Undisputed.
I don't watch any of those types of shows. I don't even watch Get Up. I don't watch any of that stuff. First of all, I'm probably not up when Get Up is on beginning because we leave here so late and Sixers and things of that nature. I'm not up, but I don't watch them. They do nothing for me. I know they're very popular. Me and one of my best friends, we always talk about it. He's like, how do you don't watch it? Like, because I don't care what they say. They're too hot takey and that's not my style. Sure, I can find enjoyment and entertainment out of it, but they annoy me more than anything, so I just choose not to watch. But I do like Shannon Sharpe. That said, he has a side show, he has a podcast, and he can get whoever he wants on his show. In this particular case, he had Chad Ochocinco, Chad Johnson, formerly Chad Johnson, who is an interesting person in and of himself, right? He comes here in offseason, he's straight, what was he? Was it the Union or the Phillies? It was the Phillies, both. I think it might have been the Union, and then later on it was the Phillies.
He's a big soccer fan, I think, so yeah. I think it was both.
And then he was a big Philly supporter with the Phillies doing what they were doing, making their way to the World Series. But he talked about something that in this podcast that Tom saw first about how he spent his money, which he didn't. If you remember, I think, Tom, this is how I first found out. He was on like, I don't know if it was like, someone was following him around. A day with Chad Johnson, whatever HBO Sports
a couple
Fox,
years ago or
yeah,
recently?
Yeah, while he was playing.
Okay.
While he was still Chad Johnson, Cincinnati Chad Johnson. And they went and stopped and got some earrings. So, you know, you see things now when they take, entertainers take you into the jewelry store and you see them slap the money down on the counter or taking it out of their bag, $20,000 right there wrapped up. Here you go. He took them shopping and went to the jewelry store and he said, this is where we're going to get my earrings. If you've seen Chad Johnson, he has the big, big diamonds in his ear. He went and spent about $25 at Claire's. And his whole point was, why would I spend all this money if I don't need to? Because I am who I am. People know how much money I make. If I'm wearing them, you probably assume that they're real. A lot of times entertainers, they'll rent their jewelry. They'll have the insurance where they can take it back, all that type of stuff, where some of them just don't wear real jewelry because they don't have to. They don't have to because they have the money and people will assume that it's all real. So he talked about that. That's where you heard that part. So that just reminded me of where I first heard that he spent the money the way he spent it. But in this particular case, he's talking to Shannon about that. And then he also goes into how he met his fiance and how he knew she was the one. We're going to let you hear the audio and then we'll set up and let you know what we want to talk about as our side topic. Here is Chad Johnson, or Chad Ochocinco, with Shannon Sharp.
Well, we went to dinner, first date. You know, I'm at McDonald's. We had the drive-thru.
Huh? Yeah. You did that?
Yes.
And she was cool with that?
Man, listen, she started ordering before I even pulled up to the thing. Let me get a... Oh, this is it.
Okay.
Listen, I had cut... Man, listen. That was it. Man, Sharp, I was in love. Listen, anytime you meet someone... It is their representative because you want to put your best foot forward.
Correct.
But they was straightforward, man. This is me.
All right. That's Chad Johnson, his fiance. They go on their first date. He's Chad Johnson. We think if you know about him, you know he loves McDonald's. I think he actually owns one in Cincinnati, I think. I think he owns one. So he takes his fiance to McDonald's in the drive-thru, and she was with it. She was with it. Let's order whatever at the drive-thru from McDonald's. Not even going inside to sit down and eat. Look out the window and talk, gaze into each other's eyes. Drive through. They go wherever they go to eat the food. So I wanted to ask you guys, because look, he's Chad Johnson. He could take her to a fancy restaurant. I'm sure they've been there. He came here and he was asking people here, where are some of the best places to eat? And you know they weren't always the big steakhouses here in town. Best, how do we say we would
most
do
unique?
Most unique. First dates that you had. Most unique. Good or bad. Keep it clean. We know it's Tuesday night. Kids are probably sleeping. It's still a family show where you never know who might be coming back from a basketball game late. You know, something along a hockey practice, whatever it might be. Most unique date that you may have had. Good or bad. Funny. Obviously, I just hope it's funny and in a good way where you can laugh at it. But most unique dates that you've had. I haven't had one that I can really think of, like a first date. And if it's not a first date, that's okay. Because I know a lot of times when you, as he said, you try to put your best foot forward, you're taking them to, hey, let's go to Capitol Grill, for an example. We're not going to Wendy's, we're going to Capitol Grill. And as high standard it is as Chick-fil-A, you're still not going to Chick-fil-A on that first date when you're at least older. When you're younger, sure. You may be with the same person that you met when you were 15. But unique first dates, if you have some really good stories, share that with us. We'll have some fun on this Tuesday night as we talk about the Birds, the Super Bowl, and where they are setup-wise in terms of the future in the National Football League. 610-632-0975. Tom, do you have one, or you want to wait on one and maybe give one later?
I don't have a first date,
but a unique.
But I have a unique date story.
Okay,
and it's with my girlfriend, who I'm with now.
Yes.
I've been with a long time. It was one of our first anniversaries. It might have been our first one, and this is back when I had like my dad's old Toyota Camry, and this thing was like 15 years old. You know, it's a first car, so you want to drive it until the wheels fall off, basically. And the one door didn't work. So I had to like get out on the other side if it was real cold or something. Like, I forget what it was exactly, but I had to get out a weird way. And it was February, late night, something like that, going to dinner. and I locked my keys in my car because I had the keys in the ignition, went out the other side, closed the door, went around, and it was locked. So we spent the entire anniversary dinner with me on hold with AAA as we try and get the keys out of the car. So, but she stayed with me, so it's all good.
She did.
Yes, so that's unique, I guess you could
that's
say.
That's a pretty good one. You know what? I'll give one. I do have one, and it does involve McDonald's.
Fitting.
I think it was high school or just out of high school in college, but home. I'm not at school. I'm home. I think this is, for whatever reason, spring break, summer, whatever it was. It was warm out. And the drive-through, we didn't drive this particular day. The drive-through was open. The dining area was closed. And I went in and tried to order. Of course, they wouldn't open the doors. So I took it upon myself, because we were hungry, I'm going to walk through the drive-through.
Got to do what you got to do, man.
Do
you
got to do what I got to do. And it was a funny story. I just remember that. It's a funny story. 69th Street, McDonald's.
Did they serve you?
They said no.
Yeah, I was going to say, some places don't
some
do that.
Some do it. Some don't. They said no.
But if you rolled, I wonder if you rolled up on a bike, if they would have done, just like a regular bike. Not
they
like
said
a,
no. They said no. All right.
I can't say I blame them. You don't want just people walking up to the window, do you? Sitting in line.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
So no, you don't.
I appreciate the effort, but I don't blame
them. Yes, and there were cars out there, too, you know, at night. So I can understand that. They might be a little worried. You know, something might happen.
Sure.
You know, safety reasons that they don't want to serve somebody who's just walking up to the teller, to the machine. And, yeah. So, unique dating stories. Chad took his fiance to McDonald's. She was with it. First date. He knew she was the one. How about you? Male, female, you guys let us know what took place. All right, let's go to the phone, 610-632-0975. Eric in South Philly. What's up, E?
Hey, man, what's going on?
How you doing, man? What's happening? Going to the bowl.
Yeah, just went to a little birds with you.
Let's do it.
Yeah, man, I ain't concerned about the Super Bowl, really. I think we got this in the bag, you know. That defense, like, how I'm going to put it, I don't trust the defense against Pat Mahomes, but I trust the pass rush, you know. And as great as Pat is, as a D lineman, like, you like to play against a quarterback like that because he hold on to the ball. You hold on to the ball, you got a messed up ankle, and it's open season.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And the thing is, they're going to collapse the pocket, man, and try to make him move. And he'll have 2 weeks, just like Jalen Hurts is going to have 2 weeks. So he'll be ready to go for that game. But, yeah, those guys will get there. And one thing that we have seen, not a lot of quarterbacks escape from the grasp of them when they get to the quarterback, at least as of late.
That's it, you know, especially Hassan, you know. Hassan getting upfield quick. So, he, you know, Andy loved them, you know, long developing plays, you know, just like Shanahan. Go ahead, you're welcome. You know, like.
Because he has that ultimate confidence in his quarterback.
Exactly. Y'all might hit a big play. We might hit a big play. You know, so as long as the defense hold up, man, I don't see them being nothing. And I don't even think it's going to be close, like, early. Like, we're not going to blow them out like San Fran, but, like, I'm expecting, like, a, you know, like a 33-20 type of score. Like, 30, at least 10 20. Points. I just don't see how they're going to stop us, man. I really don't. Like, the number one defense, and we dropped 31 on them. Now, it wasn't their fault because they also didn't do nothing. But, you know, we still dropped 31. So
yeah, that it's all about who gets that one stop. Who gets that one stop to allow them to separate themselves from
exactly.
the other team.
And besides Kelce, who is he throwing the ball to?
Well, of course you're going to respect those guys, but I respect the corners that they can defend them and ultimately Thank take
you.
Them out.
Like, Lock City, like, you're not going nowhere. Like, we just got to bracket Kelce or do something on them, you know. Put Chauncey on him, I don't know, travel.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about before the show, off there. We were like, yeah, Chauncey, put Chauncey on him, bracket him.
Bracket him, because I don't see TJ.
Look, they lost their quarterback last week, but you look at what they did last week to this the other day to George Kittle. Sure, they couldn't throw it, but even before that, he wasn't really catching the football.
Right. It's just, you know, Kelce and Mahomes, they on that, you know. They just got that understanding, like, yo, I'm going to be here when you see this look. So, you know, Jason, tell us something we can use to, like, slow down at your brother because he's a killer.
Oh, yeah, but you know it's going to be the same way the other. How can we take advantage of your brother on the offensive side, on the defensive side? Jones is going to want to know, how can I maybe get underneath his arm? How can I get him off balance or whatever it might be to use that? So there's going to be that advantage there. You figure there's so many connections here between these two because of Andy Reid.
Right.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be a fun game, man. It's going to be before you let me go, I got one question, right? Of all dependent free agents, like who's your number one to sign? Realistically, like I can't see us signing Bradberry just because.
Well, he would be my number one.
Yeah.
If I have an alternate number one, Hargrave.
Okay, I feel that.
Hargrave.
I was thinking CJ, but yeah, Hargrave a good one.
Yeah, and again, that's the secondary, so of course you want to keep that intact.
Right.
But the way Hargrave played this year, how could you not want to make sure that he's back? And they got him in a bargain last time. 3 years, I think it was $339. So they got him basically, you know, it might have been lower than 39, but they got him for 3 years.
You got DG coming off an 11 sack season.
Right. He's gonna want to get paid, obviously, because he took you know, a lower number coming in here, and he comes off of 10 sacks or over 10 sacks. But that would be mine. That would be mine. We'll get to that in the offseason for sure, E. Thanks, man. I know we'll talk to you, but 3320, we got you down, man. Appreciate it. 3320. See, again, it's not overconfidence, I don't think, when it comes to the predictions and all that stuff. It's just more of just feeling good about your team and how they can score. I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with that. It's not calling in saying we're going to mop the floor up with Kansas City. No, you're just confident that they are just as good, and in this particular case, when they face off, better.
3 years, 39. You are correct, by the way.
Okay.
Hargrave. And you're right. This team's given us the confidence to have this swagger and have this confidence going into this game because they've been so good all year. They've been the best team record-wise all season long. Last undefeated team, number one overall seed, get the bye week. All season long, why should we feel any differently now, especially after outscoring your opponent 69-14 in two playoff games?
Mm-hmm. Mm. That dude was good, man. Hargrave is good.
He's probably my number one, I think. And we'll get into that later, obviously.
Yeah, but just, you know, the answer to the question that he was throwing.
But, like, when you look at how this team is built and it's always through the trenches.
Exactly.
You're going to lose Cox. You have two nice young players in Williams and Davis. But, like, you know, they nothing proven there yet, potentially. That's a huge step for them if they're the number one and number two guys. Don't know about Graham.
You have to keep at least some of that core intact.
And I think Brett Graham comes back, I do, unless he retires if they
win.
He's
one of those guys that's probably going to want to.
Lifer.
Until his leg is about to fall off, he's going to want to stay here and not allow it to happen where he leaves. Let's go to Heavy in Huntington Valley here on 97.5. What's up, Hev?
Yo, bro, what's good?
What's happening?
Dude, how about it, man? Eagles, Super Bowl, crazy.
Super Bowl. You said it was going to be a big victory, and you were right. It was a big victory.
I mean, dude, like, I just, I don't know. I mean, I just don't know. You know, like you guys have been talking, I mean, in the NFC, it doesn't really, I mean, I can't really think of any other teams that are really on our level. I mean, I think the Super Bowl is going to be a little different considering, I mean, this is obviously going to be the defense's toughest matchup of the year as the Kansas City Chiefs always pretty much are that tough matchup for any team out there. But, I mean, dude, you look at the way, you know, I don't care if Purdy went down and then Josh dropped.
That's not your problem.
Went down.
That's San Francisco's dude, problem, not yours.
No, but I just want to say, I mean, they had a great defense, but, dude, we ran it down their throats. I mean, you look at the way this offensive line is just totally melding right now. It's really something else. And you have so many guys that want to get into the game, you know, our backups. Like, you know, you got Kenny Gainwell going out there, just going ham. And, I mean, I just feel like there's so many different guys. I mean, you know, A.J. Brown might have sounded a little selfish after his sourness for game one. But, man, I love that about him. that he wants the ball. I mean, you can't say something bad about a guy who wants to go out and perform, you know. But I mean, Tom just stole the guy I was going to say. There's one guy I'd really like to see some more out of, and that's Jordan Davis. I mean, he's been very quiet this season. I mean, dude, the dude's an absolute animal physically. Mm-hmm. And I'd really like to see him come out of a shell during the Super Bowl. I think that would be awesome.
Oh, it would be great. It would be great, and he would be a big part of that in general. If they can do that, just an extra, because when they bring in those waves, they get to you.
They're fresh. And you're talking about, you know, who's really best, you know, in the best situation right now. I mean, I don't know how you could argue that it's not the Eagles. I was saying Tom, you know, when I was, I called in, I told him, dude, I mean, the only thing about Cincy is, you know, you got a question. How they're going to set up all these contracts. They have, you know, you got to take care of Burrow. You got to take care of Jamar. You got to take care of Higgins. Is their GM equipped? I mean, you look at, dude, Howie is like the ultimate numbers guy. He knows how to set up these contracts and take care of all that where he's still got money on the side. And yeah, you know, it's easy to draft good when you got those high picks. But man, when you're a good team and your, you know, average first round draft pick is, you know, is 25 to 32, you know, that's where it gets difficult. But, and I think Howie has really proved himself with his drafting.
Oh yeah. Well, the drafting overall, Hev, thanks for the call, man. Really appreciate it. I won't stand there yet and say that he is 100% in the clear when it comes to the drafting, but so far these last few he has gotten it right, and I appreciate it. I need to see that one a little bit more. Kind of like when we talk about, we have the caller last night say the dynasty and all that stuff. We need to see a little bit more. Howie has to draft and hit again a little bit more, not just Davis, and we still don't know if N'Kobe Dean can play yet. The Kayvon Wallace part, yeah, he's a deep piece, and of course we're talking later in the draft. But we still have questions of certain guys, and we will find out. But right now, I don't have anything to complain about when it comes to him. Not at all. Not right now. Now's not the time. He's done a great job. 610-632-0975.
Speaking of one, Brandon Graham.
Yeah.
Who I literally just said 2 minutes ago, unless he retires, something leaks out. And this is from Eagles Nation on Twitter, and this is from the Zach Gelb show, which he was on.
Yeah.
Brandon Graham says he will not be retiring. Quote, my wife and I had said it could be potentially my last year as an Eagle because of my 1 year deal, but I wanna play a couple more years. I hope everything works out, but I'm definitely playing. So there you go.
All right. Well, he'll be back. And he'll be back here. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah, probably not.
He's not going anywhere. He'll be one of those dudes that's like 1 year, 1 year, 1 year.
Look at Kelsey.
Like Kelsey.
Yep.
100%. I don't know what the money looks like. Kelsey's under contract where Brandon Graham will be a free agent. Remember when he was about to leave a couple of years ago? Remember he was saying goodbye to the media members who covered the team?
I don't remember.
You don't remember that?
No.
Oh, man. He was literally the last game he was saying goodbye to all the media members, thanking them for their coverage and all the stuff that they did. During his career and always being kind to him and all that stuff.
I remember Ertz doing it, and I remember Kelsey has done it a couple times, I feel like. But I don't remember BJ. You're right. I'm sure you're right, but
he did
just
that.
Don't remember.
And it looked like, because the Giants had an offer on the table, and he just, I think it was more money, but he decided to stay here.
Is this before the Super Bowl or after the Super Bowl?
I think it was right before or right after. It was one of the two. I can't remember exactly, but
wow.
I do remember that it looked like he was out.
Glad that didn't happen.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he is, too, with how it's going.
Yeah, thought he was out. All right, 610-632-0975. We'll come back. Chris has a first date he's going to share with us. Unique first date, says Chad Ochocinco took his fiance to McDonald's, and that's when he knew she was the one because she was with it. They ordered McDonald's in a drive-thru. It was all good. We'll talk about it when we get back right here. Get your first dates. Couple open phone lines, too. And we'll give our NBA picks in a bit. for the seven reserves for the All-Star game right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Javon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, man, you forget about with the Super Bowl coming up that there are other things going on in the NFL circles like the Senior Bowl.
Saw that was on today. Didn't even realize.
Yeah.
Completely forgot about it.
Yeah, I saw my buddy.
No Stetson Bennett, though.
Yeah,
he's got other stuff going on.
So, yeah, he declined that, right?
Yeah, and then he gets tagged.
Of course, he got arrested and all that stuff.
Public intoxication.
Yeah.
But, yes, declined it.
Yeah.
And I think Will Levis did, too. I'm almost positive.
Did he really?
I think it was Will Levis, yeah.
I saw something earlier where someone still had him at number four or number three. Number four, I think it was. Number three.
Overall or as the quarterback?
Overall, as far as the draft order. Yeah.
People like quarterbacks, man. That's what it's all about. I mean, it's been Stroud and Bryce Young the entire year, one and two. But it seems like Levis is jumping up the draft boards a little bit, recently at least.
Who would your choice be outside of Stroud? Would it be Levis or would it be Young?
Probably Young.
Yeah.
The size worries me a little bit, and he's not as thick as Jalen is. Like, Jalen's short on the shorter side, but he's much thicker. Obviously, dude squats a million pounds. But he's got legit arm talent, so probably Bryce Young.
Okay.
You fine with that? Would it change it up or no?
No, I'm probably with you because, and I know Tyler was heavy on this. It's kind of like the draft where, you know, the Jets are, you know, they're trying to figure out what they're going to do and look at, well, we don't know that they were wrong, but right now it doesn't look good for Zach Wilson when you just fall in love with a certain thing and then it backfires on you.
In comparison to Levis, you're saying,
yes,
right? Yeah.
Yeah. So very curious. And then with, and I hope these are not in your leftovers, but like D'Amico Ryans and Sean Payton is going to go to the Denver Broncos. And he has Russell Wilson. He can't do anything with that. That's just Russell Wilson. So he has to figure out how to fix that. And maybe it'll be more geared towards what they did with Drew Brees and all that. Shorter quarterback. Arm at this point may not be the same, but can think the game. Change everything. And it'll work out. But as far as D'Amico Ryans, I mean, he's set up perfectly, man. He's got the number two pick. Take this gig. He got some defensive pieces already that you can build with going forward. And it might work out for him, but to your point of like Will Levis and the whole Zach Wilson thing, he may not, you hope that in his case it doesn't, that he has a voice in the quarterback too. Whereas in Indianapolis, you're already hearing that they like Will Levis. Now it's indoor, so.
And they don't even have a head coach.
And they don't even have a head coach. Who's left? Indianapolis and Arizona?
They just put up a tweet I saw today. I'll look for it. I believe it's
Arizona
just
or Indianapolis?
The vacant head coaching jobs.
Oh, okay.
I think it might just be those two.
I think it might be those two because Carolina, Houston.
Yep, Colts and Cardinals.
Denver.
That's it.
Shane Steichen get one of those? Shane Steichen, he wasn't in Indianapolis, right?
I think Steichen. So Gannon obviously only interviewed with the Texans.
No, I mean with Sirianni when he was there. And with Frank.
Oh, Price. Yeah.
Shane Steichen was there?
I believe he was, yeah.
I wonder if they...
I could see them just hiring Saturday, though.
Go for it.
Yeah, I mean...
Go for it.
Listen, I'm glad we're not in that situation anymore.
Correct.
We were a couple years ago. Question marks all over the place. I am glad it's not me. Glad it's not us.
And things could change, but it just doesn't look like... It just doesn't look like that's the right choice. That's all I'll say. Now, he'll have a full offseason and all that stuff, but it just doesn't seem like that's the right
choice. At least the Cardinals, you have Kyler, which I know he's a bit immature, and he's coming off the injury, obviously, but there's a ton of talent there. If you can figure something out and he...
But you have stuff in Indianapolis. You just don't have
a quarterback. That's the biggest thing. That's what got two coaches fired, you know? And what are they going to go for? Have Brady just get another wash guy, go be their quarterback on the back end of his prime.
Derek Carr is going to end up in one of these places. Where does he end up?
Part of me still thinks the Jets.
Have their number four pick.
Part of me still thinks the Jets or Commanders, just off the head. Part of me still thinks that.
Where's Aaron Rodgers? Green Bay or New York or Vegas?
I'd say
or San Fran.
Titans potentially too. He's going to want to go where there's weapons.
There's no weapons in Tennessee. You just have the running
just,
back.
Yeah. I thought the Jets, I feel like that has some steam to it. You hire Hackett. You know.
Do they strike out again?
That's what the Broncos tried to do. Hire Hackett to bring over Rodgers, and that didn't work. My guess right now, Rodgers, Jets, Carr, but then they have Lamar Jackson too.
Saw something earlier where they're going to franchise him.
I wouldn't play, and I don't think he is.
And it was like a super, whatever the big super franchise, whatever.
I think it's like $30 million or something like that. It might even be more.
Like, probably like 40.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like that's why he didn't play last year. And that's why I said it with Connor, I think it was one of the shows. If he has a contract, he's playing in that playoff game. If he has a long-term contract.
I agree with
franchise tag's not a long-term contract. It's great for 1 year.
Yeah.
But man, especially the way he plays, he's got to know that he's locked up long-term. So it wouldn't shock me if he's holding out, and doing a similar thing next year as he did this year, where if he's banged up a little bit, I'm not playing. Sorry.
Yeah.
Timing long-term.
All right. Two openings. Two. And we can keep going with them, but I want to get the phone calls because those are interesting, especially the Sean Payton one, where that was probably out of spite. 610-632-0975. Oh, man. Let's go to Stosh and Camden next on 97.5. What's up, Stosh?
Hey, Devon, Tom. You guys are a good combination. You make a lot of sense.
Thank you, man.
Very entertaining. You talk about quarterbacks. You took me for a curveball. I was ready to talk about Eagles.
No, talk about the Eagles, line, but you can add that. You can add on to that part too. Yeah.
But Stetson Bennett, dude, I hope he gets in the right situation. Not like a team that's like 2-17 or whatever, and these poor kids from Ohio State and the other quarterback. You're in a tough spot, quarterback for the Texans or whoever it is. Needs a quarterback.
Well, most people think he's going to be a backup anyway. So let me ask you this, Stosh. Late round quarterback, Howie Roseman, quarterback factory. Stetson Bennett, your backup next season?
Oh, man. So Minshew's going to move. He's going to move on. He's going to make more money, which he deserved it. Stetson Bennett's a winner, dude. Come on. Look at his record the last 2 years.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. I think he's a backup.
Tom?
I think he's a backup in this league. I wonder if they want to get someone who's more along the lines of what Jalen does in case he's out and you can still run your same offense. But
he could run that offense. But because of my original point, which I hate to throw you curveballs.
No, go.
Is the Eagles' offensive line against Kansas City's defensive line. We're going to run the ball for maybe a record for the Super Bowl.
Keep it going. Get it game well. It might be a Boston Scott game.
Gainwell deserved a game ball last week, and the Eagles' defensive front is the best I've seen. I've been watching them in Franklin Field in the 60s. They're going to beat up Mahomes. They've been beating up every quarterback when they're healthy like this. And just like keep Mahomes off the field, run, control the line of scrimmage.
But you know what they've done too, and while they have scored – with like they've scored the 14-7 and their 14 points on the runs, and then Jalen Hurts also scored on the ground too. But they've run in the second half once they've aired it out and got the lead.
Oh, and just sucked the life out of
yeah.
the other team, man. And special teams. I hate that three phases of the game, the special teams have been playing phenomenal this season.
Britton Covey, just catch the ball. Just don't fumble the ball. You're not picking up a lot of yards, but don't drop it.
I love it when they put the Slim Reaper back there for kickoff or punt returns. Man, that's like, you know, makes the other team weak in the knees, I think, when they're looking at him. But I haven't seen this Eagles team play this good in years. And
Is this your favorite team? Is this your favorite one?
I love Buddy Ryan's teams, but they never won the big one.
And they were
this one is my favorite team. I've never seen Eagles team play this good in my whole life, and I'm going to be 60 years old next year.
Mm-hmm.
They are hitting on all cylinders, like I said, three phases of the game, and that quarterback is MVP. I know it doesn't matter in the playoffs, but without him in them two games, he deserves that MVP because how mediocre they look with Minshew. But nothing against Minshew, but, you know, he just had to go out and do what he did.
No, he just is who he is. Yeah,
I'm loving this team. Thank you for taking my call. You guys are great, man. Go Birds.
You got it, man. Thank you. Go
you
Birds, Stosh. Go Birds. Really appreciate it. Yeah, I see, I haven't given my thoughts, and we'll get to Chris here in a second. I haven't given my thoughts on this as far as the best team. This is probably the most talented team I've seen. I was leaning and I gave a little bit because Bob asked me on the pregame show on Sunday before the game. I stopped by Xfinity before I went to the stadium. And Bob asked me, was this my or the best team that I've seen? And I was trying to hang on, not the 17, but those team that 2004 team. McNabb, Westbrook, T.O., the offensive line. Pinkston and Freddie Mitchell were, you know, they're part of it. But when you go T.O., A.J. Brown, Pinkston, Devontae Smith, that's not even a question. Freddie was better than Quez Watkins, more involved, and, you know, he's got good hands. Dallas Goedert, better than Chad Lewis. Chad Lewis was phenomenal, but Dallas Goedert is a better all-around tight end. Defensively, man, they had some stuff on the defensive side, boy. I was trying to hang on to 2004 more so than 2017 because that team was talented. That was talented. Lito, Sheldon, Michael Lewis in the secondary. What?
And weren't two of those guys drafted in the same year, I believe?
I'll give you all of it. I give you the entire draft, 1 through 4.
Okay, let's do it.
Lito first.
Yeah.
Sheldon second.
It was Sheldon, okay.
Michael Lewis third.
Was it the entire secondary?
Brian Westbrook fourth.
Damn.
That was their draft.
What do you have to say to that, Howie Roseman? Come on. What you got? That's incredible, though. I knew they were in there. I didn't know it was all in one draft in that
Lito was first round. Sheldon and Michael Lewis were second. I think Brian was third. Yeah.
Talk about like setting yourself up for future success there. My goodness, that's how you build a team.
Yeah. And when they drafted them, Bobby Taylor and Troy Vincent was still there. Al Harris was still there. All three of them. People forget about Al Harris. Al Harris was still there with those guys. They were grooming them to take over. So when we talk about now, Slay and Bradbury, that's why when we talk about, look, pay him, bring him back. Draft the corners.
And that's part of the reason, and no hate, no disrespect, part of the reason I'm okay with letting Bradbury leave, because that's potentially, you sign him long-term, which I think he's going to get a ton of money. You're paying two corners in their 30s, big money, big years. I think it's perfect. You draft a guy with one of these two first-rounders. Now, it's not going to be Bradbury right away. Slay is your cornerback one. The rookie's the cornerback two.
Yeah.
And Slay grooms them so that in 2 years when Slay's, you know, regressing a little bit because of age, that rookie you draft slides into that cornerback one position. Slay naturally moves at the cornerback two. Again, easier said than done. You have to hit on the right guy. That's why I have a little bit of trouble paying both those guys huge money. And I don't want to get too far.
And ahead, I understand that. Yeah. But it's also, as you're talking about that, and we were talking about Sheldon and Lito following Troy and Bobby, that worked too. You paid them. They were already under contract. They were paid. You drafted their successors. Groomed them for a year or two, then they stepped in when it was time for those guys to ease out. So if you gave Bradbury 3 years, I don't know what the money, but let's say he got 3 years. Is that all? Just because of, again, you can draft one this year, draft another next year, and hope that they turn out to be Sertan, Sauce,
J.C. Horn,
and you just hope Stingley, and it works out that way. But I understand that Bradbury is probably going to get paid.
The issue is...
The beauty about him, too, before you get to the issue is, he doesn't say anything.
Nothing.
He shuts up and goes, plays. They come to him to interview him in the media, in the locker room, answers his questions. He's just standing there with his hands in his pocket.
Even when they were playing the Giants, Slay did all the talking for him. I think Chauncey Gardner as well did all the talking for him.
Yes, they did.
He just went out there and got a pick.
Now, when he got the interception, of course, he showed off as he should have because he wanted to. And he said that, I thought I still had something. Of course, it meant something to me to pick them off. But, yeah, man, draft one this year. Just draft one at least. Because even when we talk about the Hurts draft, there were corners there when we were saying get one. You can get a starter in the second round. Just draft one, even if it's 31. Draft one that can be a starter.
Now, the only issue is you have Slay for what? 2 more years locked up, I believe. You have Avante just signed a contract. Bradberry is getting at least 3 years because he's probably the number one cornerback on the market. Where's that guy playing that you're drafting a number one over or, you know, top 10 pick potentially, and he's not playing for 2 years? That's potentially.
They go dime.
Is that utilizing the best out of your first round pick?
Maybe not.
When you have a lot of needs on the defense. Again, I don't want to get too far into the offseason.
Maybe not, but can you look at it also when you draft a first rounder on the offensive line or the defensive line and they don't play?
Jordan Davis and Cam Jurgens.
There you go. Great. They don't play because of their depth, but they're learning and they can pick you up where need be. Guys come out of the game for a second. And we also saw where they were using Josiah Scott in the middle of the field sometimes. You know my favorite, but he was probably playing at his best when he was in the middle of the field helping out in those dime situations where he wasn't in the slot or on the outside. He was more playing deep center field with another safety and helping out there because he had more speed, more range. Can you? Just to use him there, to give him some snaps there, might be able to.
Sure. I guess with the
it's gonna be a fun conversation.
It is, and I obviously can't wait for 2 weeks from now. But you know, the offseason is gonna be a lot of fun. The only D-line, O-line, there's a potential opening there because you have guys like Hargrave, Cox, Kelsey, say Amalu. There's openings where if these corners are signed long term, other than the Josiah Scott role, which sure you can thrive in. Who knows how many openings there are. But it's an interesting conversation that we're gonna get into a ton throughout the year.
And real fast, you mentioned Slay's 32. And Bradberry is 29. So he's 3 years younger. So he's probably going to get 3-4.
And Slay's been great these past 3 years. So if he has a similar trajectory, you know, that's.
Yes, he has.
It's interesting.
Let me give you the depth.
Do you have to?
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. And they'll draft one or have a young player somewhere along the line, but. Here you go, and we'll get to Chris. Slay, Scott, McPherson, Bradberry, Maddox, Job. You need a young body on there.
McPherson, really good special teamer. He has. He's carved a role out there. The other two guys, you can't rely on them if someone goes down long term.
You need a body.
Yep.
Yep. And how many times has Avante Maddox missed time this year? Contract or not?
Two different injuries, I believe.
Contract or not, yeah. He had the toe last.
And the hamstring.
And the
right?
hamstring yep. before. Not that that's going to be his problem going forward, but.
You never know.
When he's out, I don't want to be talking about Josiah Scott. That's the point. Chris in Mount Laurel, next on 97.5. What's up, Chris?
Hey, how you doing tonight, man?
Good, man. How about
you? You guys are great. Not bad. Not bad.
Thank you. They're going to the bowl, Chris. They're going to the bowl.
You know what? If my bet works out, I bet back in September, Eagles win the Super Bowl, see what happens.
Oh, love it.
Plus 1,300. See what happens.
Oh, man. But, oh, beautiful. Beautiful.
Good time. You know, faith. Got to have faith. But speaking of draft-wise, I'm thinking safety, then go corner. Screw that up. I think that would be the plan.
But I'm mad at that because Chauncey Gardner-Johnson might also be out.
Yeah, I figured, like, just why not?
Now, look, draft is after free agency, so we'll have an answer.
Right, right. So let's get back to the topic of the weird first dates. So apparently Chad Johnson, he's the guy, he did it right at McDonald's. When I was younger, years ago, met a foreign girl in Philly when I was working there as a bartender. I'm like, all right, let's make this memorable. Let's go right. We ended up going to a Fat Salmon off a Chestnut. And I will tell you what killed the date. She was beautiful. Date was going well until she emphasized I need to use chopsticks. So after embarrassing myself for about an hour and a half through meals, trying to eat, I got defeated by a salad. That's how bad things.
That's how bad you felt. Your ego was gone.
Yeah.
Shot.
Yeah, she could. She was fine eating the dinner with the salad. I'm sitting there trying. I'm like, I had to go for the fork. Like, I had to tap out. Like, I'm going American.
So what happened after that?
After that was the one and only date.
Wow.
But you know, I tried. Now I know never go to us. I mean, the bar was great. They had Japanese beer, sake, they had good food. I'm like, my chopstick game is weak, man. It's like, it was nunchucks, like trying to learn nunchucks for me off the fly. Like, I didn't know.
I used to know how to use chopsticks. I don't know how to use them anymore. When I was younger, I could. I haven't used them in so many years. I don't know if I could do it right now. I would have to relearn it.
It was embarrassing, man. I lost my manhood. Like, I don't care. Like, well, you can live to the gym. If you can't use chopsticks, don't use them because it's so embarrassing.
Wow. Wow. That's crazy, man. That's a great story, though.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, I heard you call up, but I had to call up.
That's funny, man. I appreciate it. I hope things worked out overall for you, though, even though you met that first.
Like 10 years ago. I got a kid now. She uses a fork.
Beautiful.
She's being trained well, brought the right way.
Well, once she learns how to use the chopsticks, then, you know, maybe she'll defeat you on that one, too. Right?
Last question for the Super Bowl. What's our biggest threat? Is it Mahomes and his feet? Because I'm not seeing much from the running game or his wide receivers. So is it Mahomes?
I think it's just Mahomes, period. Yeah. Who he is.
I agree. I think we have the best team. But honestly, you're right with the 04 team. I think the 2017 was lightning in a bottle. I think the 04 team was more talented personally. But this team right now is probably in my lifetime. I'm 38. I'm excited. Like, we've never been the top dog. Like, we're always the underdog. Now we're the favorite. I don't know how people coming after you.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't like it. Like, go home.
No, I like it. I like it. Yeah, I like it. I like it. That means you're at the top and they're gunning for you.
That's when you make up problems and you have these conversations for 2 weeks until the game starts and you start worrying.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You belong. Your team belongs exactly where they are right now as a favorite right now for the Super Bowl. Chris, great story, man. Thank you. Appreciate the Eagles talk as well. Enjoy the game, man. Can you use chopsticks?
This is so funny. So we had a date night, my girlfriend and I, that you I told you about last week. And we did this past weekend.
Yep, yep.
Went to a sushi place. She can use chopsticks. Guess who can't? This guy.
Wow.
So I just, but I don't do the fork. Fork feels too American. Too like.
It's like have some respect for their culture.
Yeah, a little ignorant.
So what do you use?
Fingers, man.
Ah, yeah.
I just pick up the sushi with the fingers. And salad, I don't even order
the salad. Anyway.
I do love sushi.
Yeah.
I should probably learn. I hold my pen weird though, so that kind of throws off the chopsticks.
How are you a pen holder? Okay, but I hold mine regular, and I'm not a chopstick user.
I think it's supposed to help how you use the chopsticks.
Okay,
but I feel like it's too far gone.
I learned
at this point.
When I was literally,
and you don't like sushi, which
early
is funny.
Teen, but it was more for the stuff that I do eat from the Chinese restaurants, the rice,
noodles and stuff like that.
I actually don't like the noodles.
Okay,
yeah, but yeah, the rice and all those types of things. I use the sticks, but now I cannot do it now.
You lost it.
I have to relearn it all over again.
It's like riding a bike, right?
I would hope so.
Yeah.
I would hope so. We'll talk to Lance on the other side, see if Lance can use the chopsticks. Great story. First dates. Not necessarily had to be a first date, but for Chad Lewis, he took his fiance on a date, and they went to McDonald's. Use your fingers for that, too.
Chad Ochocinco,
or Chad Johnson, whatever you want to call him. And he took her to McDonald's, and she was with it. No problems. He knew she was the one. Give us some good dating stories as we hang out, talk some birds. We get to the Sixers, too, and give our picks for the 7 reserves in the Eastern and Western conferences that will be announced on Thursday before their telecast, as always. Give the results. So we'll do that with you as we go along. Lance on the other side, 610-632-0975, right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone.
Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, they're not rolling out for another 5-6 days, right? They don't leave until, what, Sunday? One team arrives one day, the other team arrives another day. They do it separately. I don't know which one is going to be which, but the Eagles will leave at some point where... And they'll do the media day stuff, which will be fun. Andy Reid, the whole storyline, all that. Kelsey, Rick Burkholder, Spags, Anthony's guy, right? Spags is going to be another one. Greg Lewis as their wide receiver coach. with Kansas City. There are some other ones. I know that Jeff mentioned another name that I don't know, but there are other, obviously, because Andy Reid was here. He took a lot of those people with him, and a lot of those connections there. The Kelce part, they're going to have, I mean, how much of an advantage at this point are you giving? First of all, they've been in the league for a long time. So whatever it is, the tape is what the tape says. Yes, the brothers can tell some little slight advantages, and it probably benefits more Jason telling his defense about what to do, but Jonathan Gannon has just figured it out all season long. Sure, anything will help. Any advantage you can get will help, but I don't know.
And sometimes talent just overcomes the advantage at this point. You know, those are two of the best of the best. Might be the two best at their position in the league.
Like,
right
look,
now,
last week, this thing didn't spell itself out against the 49ers. The fact that the Eagles had two coaches on the Iowa State staff, we never got a chance to see it because he was out so fast. He was gone. So they may have had something up their sleeve of, hey, this is what he likes to do. Watch this. Or maybe it did. And the incompetence there of Kyle Shanahan and having a backup tight end, or tight end period. Forget about a backup. A tight end period, who I'm assuming is their blocking tight end. George Kittle is not. And you get to him and you knock him down. And what they did was they got to him and knocked him down. There's tape and there's advantages. So there you go. There you go. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. A lot of storylines. The two quarterbacks, not overlooking the fact that you have two black quarterbacks for the first time facing off, Pat Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, two black quarterbacks have faced off in the Super Bowl in the NFL. So that's a storyline. And A.J. Brown still hasn't had a dominant game yet.
In the playoffs.
In the playoffs. He's due. I'm going to say it. Even if they win and he doesn't, I'm like, all right, wait till week one next year, because he hasn't had a good week in a couple of weeks.
He's due.
Due, though, isn't he?
No, he is. He is.
He is
but
due.
It's just how the offense has been rolling.
That's how they've been able to win. They didn't need it.
Jalen Hurts hasn't had a tremendous game yet in the playoffs.
Let me ask you this. 2 weeks in a row, he's missed A.J. Brown wide open, 2-3 steps on the...
A caller called earlier and said that to me, too. He was going to bring it up and he ended up dropping off.
Yeah, because we talked about it when we were together. I was talking... So I was with, obviously, Brian, but Coach Ferrante from Villanova, Brian's guy, who I've known for years now, being around Brian for all these years. And I was talking to Coach Ferrante and I was like, how? This is 2 weeks in a row. They have been on point all season long. How are they missing him? He's like, look, I can't say it's the injury, because when he sat down after the first one against New York, when he stayed on the turf for like 5 extra seconds, and he just sat there and it looked like he was a little banged up. We don't know if it's a hammy. We don't know if it's an ankle, a knee, anything, a hip. Could be anything that slowed him down where it looked that way. But the one thing that I think it was Coach that said, not enough air, or was it Brian? One of the two said he felt like it may not have been enough air on it. It was more line drive. I think it was Coach. Wasn't enough air on it. If he put a little bit more, allowing A.J. Brown to keep going and run underneath it, it was good to go. It was more line drive than air underneath the throw.
Could it be possibly just a combination of both injuries, potentially, where Hurts isn't 100% and that shoulder's not 100%, where he's going to make these tremendous throws like he did to Devontae 2 weeks in a row, especially last week. That throw on fourth down, which was just incredible. The catch, which was a catch, by the way, because that's what it says on the box score. The catch was incredible as well, but Jalen Hurts led him very well. He's making those throws to Devontae, so you're still going to see the flashes from Hurts here or there. It just might not be as consistent because that shoulder is bothering him. And then potentially A.J. Brown. And yeah, it looked like that hamstring was bothering him a little bit against that Giants game. Could it just be a combination of both?
Could be. Could be. I'm not worried because I think he's going to have a big game. By the way, Brian says, Elbow Shaferi, the key to the lower chopstick is that the lower chopstick is stationary. That's the key. Lower chopstick, stationary. Then you pinch down with the top one. If I can use chopsticks, Brian says, anybody can. Anybody can. All right, one more time. The key is the lower chopstick is stationary, then you pinch down with the top one. If Brian can use it, anybody can. Thanks, B. I knew you could use it, B. I was never worried about that.
I can't. I don't think that. I appreciate it. I don't know how much it's going to help, unfortunately.
610-632-0975. We'll give our all-star reserves at 10:30. When we come back from the break, we'll give our all-star reserves because we do have our selections. I'm a little conflicted on the West. Too many guys. East, I'm pretty solid there. Lance in Arizona is next on 97.5. What's up, Lance?
What's up, Devon? I know how to use chopsticks. What the last guy said to you is exactly how you do it. One has to be stationary. The other one, you're pressing down to pick it up.
All right, so the bottom.
If you get the hang of it, it's not bad.
The lower chopstick is stationary, and the top, you pinch it down. All right.
Yeah, so basically when you get the sushi on the lower one, when you do that with the stationary one, you just clamp down with the other one, and it allows you to just pick it up.
All right. So since Tom is a sushi guy, now you have to try it this way. So next time you go, make sure you get the chopsticks, Tom, so you can try it out. All right, cool. Thanks, man. Appreciate that.
No problem. So with the Super Bowl, I find the fascinating thing about this game is that the Eagles' offensive line is going to be the best offensive line that the Chiefs have faced all year. But you can conversely say the same thing going the other way, because I think the number two offensive line in the league is probably the Chiefs. When you look at their pass block win
rate, it's pretty good. Yeah. Yeah.
They're 1-3 in both of those two categories. So they're a really good one. And Creed Humphrey is a really good center.
At the center, and a young guy, too. Really young, yep. Yeah. Second team All-Pro this year.
So, like, they're a good offensive line, too. So you're going to see, like, both of these teams. To me, it's more vital for the Eagles to get that pressure on Mahomes and make him move, because I don't think his ankles could be 100%, but it's going to be better.
Yeah.
You can make him move more around during that game. You saw by the third quarter, I thought he was a little more gimpy as the game went on, and I'm surprised the Bengals didn't try to blitz him more and make him run, because I thought he started looking like that ankle began bothering him as the game went on. So that's one thing I would do to him. Also, like, the thing that concerns me with their defense is this. If they're not getting their pass rush on, you're going to be open for a lot of things that are going to get to you, because at Marcus Scandis-Fountain, he's fast. And that's usually the guys that are, like, fast give Slay problems. Like, McLaurin gives Slay problems because he's not – that's just not his specialty. So they have to – like, for the Eagles, I think it's vital that pass rush gets to him.
Yeah. Now, you hope that those guys, of course, can hang out, and maybe there's a little help over this top with the safety. Also, we know how well specifically – We know how well Chauncey Gardner-Johnson has been by playing, you know, being a ball hawk and being a guy that's timing things perfectly to get those picks or knock things away. Maybe we'll see something in that regard, or even Marcus Epps.
Oh, for sure. Like, on offense, they need to get the passing game somewhat, like, getting more going than what it has been. They haven't had to, because the last few games, how it played out. They have to be able to do it, because you have to be able to attack the Chiefs' corners, because I'm guessing they know the Eagles want to run the ball, even though they're not a good run defense. I'm guessing they're going to bring guys closer to the line to try to make them throw, because they'll rather lose this game throwing the ball than having them just run all over them, knowing that their run defense isn't very good. So, like, they're going to have to be better passing-wise, which I think with the 2 weeks off, it's probably going to help hurt his shoulder a little bit more. You're probably going to see him be a little bit better. I know you guys were talking about quarterbacks. So on that point, I kind of think Aaron Rodgers, I think it's going to be New York. I think that's what they do. And I think the Packers want to move on, because they want to see if Jordan Love sucks this year, this is the year to suck, because they're going to be real bad. Mm-hmm. They have a chance at Caleb Williams. So if Jordan Love is horrible, they just move themselves into a position to get Caleb Williams. So it makes sense. Mm-hmm. I think the Ravens, I think they're in a tough spot, because I don't think they really want to pay Lamar Jackson what he thinks he's owed, especially now that he can't stay healthy. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Miami comes up. And this is the reason why I say it. He's from that area, and they were trying to get Tom Brady last year. I think Miami would trade Tua and a couple picks to get Lamar if it came to that.
Who would trade for Tua, though, with the uncertainty, the unknown of the whole where he is with the concussion stuff? Because they even said late last week or early this week, yesterday, that he was still not cleared. He still had the concussion.
You see, I don't think the Ravens are getting just – when they do that trade, I don't think they're just getting Tua. I think they're going to get 1-2 first-round picks.
Oh, sure,
trade.
Right.
You just take Tua, and you hope that he is okay. If he's not, you're going to need a quarterback anyway. So it really doesn't make a difference. So if Tua can't come back and he's bad and you're just bad, now you're in the position next year to possibly get Caleb Williams again. So like that to me is one of those, some of these teams I think are going to be in those positions. To be perfectly honest, I think the Cardinals are going to be the worst team. Because I look at it this way. Yeah. You're hiring a new coach. Hopkins is gone. Hollywood Brown might be gone based off what's going on there. J.J. Watt retired. You don't have that much talent anyways. Even when Murray comes back midway through the year, he's not going to be the same player. And he's not the guy who likes to study all that much. And it's a new offense. And it's new, like, everything. That team could be the worst team. It might be in position to draft Caleb Williams as well. And then Kyler Murray next offseason is the guy that becomes available. It's probably cheaper because they want to get rid of his contract. And that's the guy that winds up becoming available in 2024 that people try to make trade for. Like, the quarterback carousel this offseason is going to be fascinating.
It's going to be a huge story where we don't even have to talk about the Eagles in one day in the offseason. We can just talk about that. So it's going to be fun, man. The biggest position in sports and so many moving parts. Lance, thanks so much as always, man. I'm sure we'll talk to you before the championship. Are you going to the game?
I was going to try, man. It's like $6,000 for tickets.
A friend of mine texted me that. He saw one for like $7,000.
Yeah, I was like, well, if I set up a GoFundMe and I get every single fan to give me $1, that's $6,000 a fan, I could either get it. If I don't make it there, it could be my bail money for trying to sneak into the stadium. But no, I would love to go.
Where is the stadium again? Because when I was there, the basketball, the arena and the baseball stadium, they're right next to each other. Where's the football stadium?
So the baseball and the basketball is in downtown Phoenix.
Right.
So Glendale's about 30 minutes away. It's a suburb. Basically, Phoenix has a bunch of different kind of suburbs all connected into one. They have Chandler, they have Scottsdale, they have all of them. This one's about 45 minutes away, depending on which era you're at. The only thing that's really over there, besides some shops and stuff like that, there's a medical school, Midwestern's over there. The Coyotes used to play there.
Okay.
They don't play there anymore. They're playing Tempe now.
All right.
It's a drive.
Well, I don't know that I'll be there yet, but if I am, I figured I would check. And if anything, of course, I got a guy who can get me around Arizona. That's not a problem.
Well, yeah, he knows where it's at. He probably gets you into the game.
Yeah, but if I was coming, I wasn't coming on him getting me into the game. It's just more of, hey, cuz, I need a place to stay. I'm not paying for these hotel rooms.
Oh, no. Well, I actually told people, so I have family in Philly and all that. I told people, I was like, if you don't really care about being in Phoenix, you just want to go for the game, I would tell people, go up for the NFL, come into Tucson because it's cheaper. The hotels are way cheaper.
Okay. Well, I'm not paying. I'm just going to stay with him.
Yeah, well, I told my friends and family this. Go into Tucson, go up there for a day to go to the NFL experience, come back down, then go back up to the Super Bowl. It's about an hour and 30-minute drive to get back and forth to there.
But it's cool because you're there for the experience, so it's not a big deal. Yeah.
Yeah, it's way cheaper.
Okay.
And we have better Mexican food down here than they do in Phoenix. So you got that going for you.
You got that going. Well, listen, thanks for the tour guide, Lance, helping us out as always. Talk to you later, man. Appreciate it.
Later, man.
You got it, man. Yeah. People are going to just go. Just to be a part of it, especially if the team wins, you're gonna take over the area.
I'm sure it's a great party spot too if the Eagles end up winning, which we all think is going to happen. It's the afterwards is probably gonna be awesome. Gonna be awesome here in Philly, of course, as well.
But all I know is downtown because of where the arena is and just being there real fast. That's it. And it wasn't that I was out enough to really experience it. I just know that Marley's is crazy. Dan Marley's place. That's a very popular spot. That's right across the street from the arena. And that's pretty much it. Now, my cousins, they've been out there and they stayed longer. So they know some of the other spots. His brother, his brothers and his dad. So they know some other spots. But again, that's why I was saying, if I do go, I'm sure I'll be linked up with him anyway to do whatever because they're off, so they'll be home. And that'll work out.
They're not on a West Coast East Coast trip or anything like that. A couple of road games.
They do play a game. I think they play Friday on the road, but then they're back home for the weekend. And I think through it because their next game is at home, but they're waiting for all that stuff to clear out. Yeah, I think it's Friday, Tuesday, or something like that. I think that's how it goes. Let's go to Joseph in Atlanta here on 97.5. Talk a little birds with us. Joe, how you doing?
Yo, what's good, man? I'm good, man. It's the first time, man, ever called into your show, man.
Oh, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
I've been an Eagles fan. Yo, you got a good show up. Look, let me tell you something, man. I've been living in Atlanta for like 30 years, right? Uh-huh. And I grew up, though, in Camden, New Jersey. Eagles nice. Fan all my life.
Yeah.
You know, been to Phillies games in the vet. My mom would never take me to no Eagles game because she was like, "Dad, like a fool at these games like this? Ain't no way in heck I'm taking you to an Eagles game."
So you just go to Falcons games where it's a little tamer there.
Ah, man, but yo, let me tell you something. Falcons games used to be real nightmare. You ain't never been to a tailgate in your life until you've been to a tailgate in Atlanta when Mike Vick was here. They used to have the strip clubs out there on the back of them trucks, man. Wow. It was nice. It was real. I had never seen tailgates
like that. That. I mean, yeah.
Oh my God.
I was there in town when Vic was there, but it was in the off season. It wasn't when they were playing. So I was there, but one of my cousins, he was running. I can't remember the name of the store. It was when they used to sell all the throwback jerseys and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it was like Total Sports or something like that, and being in that store, helping him out one day when we were there, staying with him and going to different stuff. This is where I first heard of T.I. because I didn't know who T.I. was. And I was like, who is this dude? Why are they all in his face like this? This is not that good. But it was before he blew up. But he was pop. Yeah. He was real famous down there, you know, locally.
Yeah, I know his mother, man. His mother and my wife, they were real close.
Oh, okay. Man. And but the Falcons stuff was nuts. Because
man.
Vic,
yo,
yeah,
it was so many. Oh my God! I just say it was bananas. And I've been to Eagles tailgates, and Eagles tailgates is they different from that. But my thing was, look, let me tell you something. I'm about to change my name to Negro Damas. I done took so much money from these people, from everybody leading up, you know, to this Super Bowl. Everybody hating on the Eagles and telling me what they're not going to do and all this. And I've just been taking their money, man, and just moving on. Now, the disrespect that we got from the 49ers, man, oh, my God. Them talking about this is the best defense in the league, you know, and Joey Bosa and how he, you all pro. Man, the way we got disrespected in like, the Pro Bowl voting.
Yeah.
And all pro.
Tavon Hargrave, all that stuff, yeah.
With all the sacks we have across that front line, you have all these brothers who didn't even get like a look. Even Nick Sirianni. Let me ask you something. Brian Daboll took a four-win team, four wins previous year, took them to the playoffs this year. Wait a minute, didn't Nick Sirianni just do that last year?
Yeah.
He just did that last year.
Yeah, he did.
Did he get mentioned for a coach of the year last year?
No, he did not.
He didn't.
Nope.
Man, the hate and the disrespect for Philly, it gets me upset, man.
I was mad about the Pro Bowl stuff, too, because it was just like, all right, these things are really obvious. This is ridiculous. The good part about it when the Pro Bowl came out at that time, Joe, was I knew they weren't going to be playing in the Pro Bowl. They were going to be playing in the Super Bowl. So I was like, forget it. Just go out there and win. Tell them to stick the Pro Bowl. Stick all your awards. We'll take this big trophy.
Let me tell you when I knew the Eagles was going to beat the 49ers. Was when the 49ers lost to Atlanta. Atlanta's trash. They lost to Atlanta.
Earlier in the year when they ran all over them.
Yeah, and I live in Atlanta. People would rather watch a big pile of horse crap with flies buzzing around it for 3.5 hours than to watch the Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? People don't watch Atlanta in Atlanta. I don't watch Atlanta. I'm an Eagles fan. You know? And let me tell you something. I already knew that there was a body when they got off the plane. I knew what was going to happen. I predicted that the score was going to be 31-17. Well, we held up our end. You know, I didn't know that, you know, Purdy was only going to be in there like a minute, and they had all their quarterbacks sitting over there on the bench like they was waiting for the city bus. Everybody over there, all of them. And then you got oh, my God, that was so funny that, like, they was looking around like, who's going to be quarterback? I really thought, like, you know, Shanahan was going to try to put on a...
I was
going to
say this to Tom, but since you just brought that up about who's going to be quarterback, apparently, as I'm looking at my buddy OJ Spivey here on Twitter, OJ says on Inside the NFL, Kittle asked Purdy if he was ambidextrous. That's how desperate they were.
He may as well ask that man if he had a second hand. Come on. There go. Throw it with the other
arm. Oh, man.
That's going to work against our defense. Man, let me tell you something. We're going to win this game, and I'm going to tell you why now. No, we're going to win this Super Bowl. I'm going to tell you why. Number one, Kansas City hasn't seen a defense like this. You know, with they're getting ready, with that offensive line that Kansas City has, it's getting ready to see is like it's pressure like they haven't seen before. And to the defensive line that we have and the depth that we have, them boys looking like sweet meat in a hungry village.
Well,
and it's going to be an ugly scene out there, man.
Let's hope that is the case, man.
I'm telling you that's the case.
Listen, I'm with you. I already think they're going to win. I just don't have a score yet. So, listen, Joe, don't be a stranger, man. Give us a call again, hopefully before, if not after.
Yeah, I'm going to give y'all a call again after the game.
All right.
So y'all can officially crown me as Negro Diamond.
There you go, right, man. Appreciate it.
That's
what's up, man. All right, man. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it. We come back. We get Gerald. We get Tony. 610-632-0975. And we'll also give our NBA All-Star reserves on the other side. Tom has put his together. I put mine together. I have my seven locks for the East. I've got like 9 for the West that I got to figure out before we get on the air. Coming back from the break of who my 7 are. We'll do it when we come back. One of the guys, he just had a pretty good game in the loss. I'll give that one when we get back right here. 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone.
Javon Givens. On 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 1034, 97.5 The Fanatic. 610-632-0975. Tom and I are rooting for this guy on Twitter. Put up his receipt. I'll send it to Brian. I see Brian in Plymouth. The meeting is there. B, I'm going to send you this to your DM. And you check it out because it's pretty good. It is actually pretty good.
I'll be honest. I'm not rooting.
You're not
for
rooting?
No, man. I'm not. Come on. It's stole my thunder.
Oh, man. He's going to get it.
Yeah, he probably is.
He's going to get it. Good for him. All right.
If you say so.
Before we get to G, my man, G, I haven't talked to G in a while. We got to get to G, Tony, and Brian. Haven't talked to Tony in a while, Newcastle either. So we get to Tone. Before we do that, we said we would give our 7 reserves for the All-Star game. It will be announced on Thursday, both East and West. And we're going to give our picks. Tom and I are together tomorrow, but just for the post game, in the post after the Sixers and Magic. So while we do have 2 hours, you know, we had a full opportunity here to do a show and present it to the people today instead of tomorrow. And then on Thursday, Tom's off. So we're going to have to get together on Friday and discuss, even though we're not doing a post-game show on Friday. We're just doing pre-game stuff. Tom is going to be working the Sixers game. So we got to do it now. So let's give the East first. For the starters, for the people who don't know, the starters are Giannis, KD, Tatum, Mitchell, and Irving. Embiid slighted by the fans. The media and his peers, the players, they voted him to be a starter, but the fan votes were too much for Tatum as the third choice where Embiid finished fourth. That's why Embiid is not starting. So obviously, we know Embiid is, both of us, we have him as a reserve in this one. You agree, Tom?
I would agree. I'd also agree if he decided not to go and boycott it. But yes, I agree.
All right, here are my 7 for the Eastern Conference. Tom, you jump in after I give mine, and we'll see where we meet up.
So 6, obviously, other than
yes,
Embiid.
Yes, other than Embiid. Yeah. So Embiid 1, here are the rest. Jaylen Brown is my other one. He's a starter. I mean, he's a reserve in this one from the Boston Celtics. As tough as things have been for the Chicago Bulls, I am going with DeMar DeRozan as a all-star this year again for his representing the Chicago Bulls. I think this is his second one with this team. So DeMar DeRozan, and as banged up as the guy has been, he has been tremendous all year. And I know he's missing some time as of late. Tyrese Halliburton, first-time all-star in my book.
Sorry, Wally Zerbier.
Sorry, Wally. Exactly. Following Halliburton, Miami is back in the mix. They're in the number 6 seed. I couldn't decide who I wanted to go from them, but I went with the big man, and I went Bam over Jimmy Butler for the representative for the Miami Heat, who are sitting in the number six spot in the Eastern Conference standings. I then went to, this is a tough one. This is where it might get a little controversial. I went Pascal Siakam from the Toronto Raptors, averaging 25. You know, he's stat sheeting it all up. It's not his fault. It's not his fault. He's playing well, and you know how it goes. If you're playing well enough, like DeMar DeRozan, they're right there with the Toronto Raptors with their record. Not good. I think Siakam is going to be one. Could be wrong. Could be somebody else, because I had to choose between two Knicks as my final choice. And with my final choice, I went with Jalen Brunson over Julius Randle as my seventh and final choice as the East All-Star Reserves. We know how it goes. They're going to draft the players, and they're going to do it actually like an hour before the game now, instead of do it on television, a week before the draft. They're actually going to do it the day of. So I went with Jalen Brunson over Julius Randle. If you took Randle over Siakam and put both Brunson and Randle in, I would probably be a little questionable, because you know why? James Harden also deserves some consideration for an all-star berth. If Kyrie Irving is in there, so does James Harden deserve to be in there. Kyrie Irving voted in by this the fans. He deserves to be in there. So James Harden, 33 games played, averaging 21, leading the NBA in assists at 11, and averaging 6 boards. James Harden also has a case here. So those are mine. Embiid, Jaylen Brown, DeRozan, Halliburton, Bam, Siakam, and Jalen Brunson. Those are my 7 All-Stars. I actually had a chance to catch up with Jalen at the game the other day, so it was good to see him. All right. He came to the Eagles again. They were off. He and Ryan stopped by.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I think I did see that, actually. I think I saw that on Twitter.
I didn't put it out there.
No, but I do think
maybe
I saw.
Maybe Brian, because, you know, they took a, like a Villanova picture together, yeah, all that stuff.
I'm sure.
Yeah. All right. Who are your Easts?
Yeah, so a lot of similar ones and a lot of questioning of two players on the same team.
Okay.
Jaylen Brown, Embiid, obviously. Tyrese Halliburton, I agree with. Pascal Siakam, I actually agree with, too. I chose Randle over Jalen Brunson. I think it's you can go either way. Yeah. I think Randle's averaging more points per game. He's having, I guess, a little bit better of a season, but I'd be fine either way there. And I chose Jimmy Butler over Bam Adebayo when it comes to that. And then I chose James Harden as well, because yes, he's only played 30 something games, whatever it is. James Harden looks like the James Harden from 2 years ago.
So you did pick James?
I took James Harden. Yeah, a little bit of bias, potentially, as we're here in Philadelphia. But he's been tremendous, triple doubles.
Maybe I went with the biasness, too, when it comes to Jalen.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. But yeah, so triple doubles, he's still always out there. He's a triple double any night. He decides he wants to get rebounds early on in the game. Walking triple double, assist, improved when it comes to three-point shooting and from field goal percentage. So I go James Harden. So yeah. That's it. A lot of similar ones. James Harden in there for me instead of, I forget who your spare one was. But Embiid, Jaylen Brown, James Harden, Jimmy Butler, Tyrese Halliburton, Julius Randle, Pascal.
The ones we differed on were Bam and DeRozan.
DeRozan, that was the one I was missing. Yep.
Okay. All right. West, starters. Nikola Jokic, Zion Williamson, LeBron James, Luka Doncic, and Steph Curry. A couple of questionable ones there. But it's what it is. Zion is going to get those votes. He's a big-time fan favorite. All right, here are the reserves. Let's see where we are here. I got a lot of them. I got a lot.
Did you get it down to 7?
I'm going to have to.
Barely.
But I will tell you my other ones. Sabonis. Domantas Sabonis from the Sacramento Kings. They are 3rd in the West. Got to put him in there.
And that dude's got like 37 double-doubles, excuse me, already.
Got to put him in there. Here's a questionable. Well, I'll jump into the question one in a minute. John Morant, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Anthony Edwards went there. So that's 4. This is where I got into trouble. Damian Lillard had him in. Had him as a lock, but I can understand where it may not work out that way, but I do have him in. They're right there, same record as OKC with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. So Dame, I have Dame in there right now. The team has fallen off, but his play has not. Lauri Markkanen. Have him in. So my final one, my final spot was 3 players. De'Aaron Fox, because of the Kings and what he and Domantas Sabonis have done. If he had not been hurt, he's only played 26, I think, on my squad. Devin Booker was the lock before the injury. He's been out for a while.
Not enough games, I don't think.
Exactly. Yeah. So that one there then leads me to, because they are still tied for fifth in the West, they had a long losing streak. And, of course, maybe some biasness here. You know where I'm going. Because I think if Booker had stayed healthy, Kale would have been, it would have been Booker and Kale getting in to the All-Star. So I have it between Booker, Kale, and Fox for that one. Fox will probably get the nod.
So that's your answer, Fox?
Reluctantly.
We have the exact same seven.
Do we?
Exact same.
Okay.
Ja Morant, obviously. Lauri Markkanen's having a tremendous season. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, one of my favorite young players in the league. A budding superstar. Domantas Sabonis is a tank this year. He's been tremendous. And the fact that the Kings have been as good as they are right now as a team. Damian Lillard, I mean, the dude dropped, what, 53 the other night? Still tremendous. I know their team isn't tremendous, but Damian Lillard individually is. De'Aaron Fox, again, nice, I guess, bounce back type season, I guess you could breakout season. I don't know what you want to call it.
I thought he should have been an All-Star 2 years ago. Last year, he took a step back.
Correct. And the only one I was debating was Anthony Edwards for Paul George, potentially, because Clippers are up there. I believe they're third in the West right now. Paul George has only played 36 games. I love Anthony Edwards. I know it's Karl-Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert, but I have Anthony Edwards as well. So, yep. Same seven.
Clippers are fourth in the West.
Me.
Yep. Game up on Golden State, Dallas, and Phoenix.
Despite Kawhi and Paul George not playing a lot of these games.
That's why Ty Lue, when we were talking about Dave Yeager and Ty Lue, those are my two choices for the Sixers because of how good Ty Lue is as a coach. So those are our reserves. Sorry, Doc. Those are our reserves, and we have a lot. So we'll see how we match up on Thursday when they finally announce them. And we'll see.
You think Harden any chance? Because I picked him.
Harden definitely has a chance. Yeah, because they're number two seed. They're right there, number three seed.
Yeah.
Because they lost. But, yeah, they're right there. So, absolutely, he has a chance. Milwaukee won tonight, so they're full game back. The Sixers are of the Milwaukee Bucks. The Knicks lost, so they, you know, two games back of the Miami Heat. So, yeah, Miami won tonight. Cleveland lost. Cleveland is taking a step back with things. That's why I didn't take Darius Garland. He missed some games, all of that. But some really good talent in both conferences as far as the reserves go.
Most surprising coming into the season of the list, probably Markkanen, right?
100%.
I mean, there's a lot. I mean, Sabonis and Fox put up good numbers, sure, but Markkanen.
Sabonis has been an All-Star. Fox, I thought 2 seasons ago should have been an All-Star. Lauri Markkanen, absolutely. I thought Edwards would take that step because it's his team. It's not Karl-Anthony Towns' team, in my opinion, now. And Lauri Markkanen, clearly, that's the one.
Great, because he was good a couple years. When he first came out with the Bulls his rookie year, showed a ton of promise and a ton of potential. Then he fell off a little bit. Found his footing a bit with the Jazz this season, it seems like. So well-deserved, but yeah, crazy. No one would have saw
it. It doesn't hurt. Like Jalen tonight dropped, 38 the last time I checked. Let me see what he ended up with. Jalen tonight had 37. Sorry. He had 37. Not bad when you do it on TV here, even though you want to let everybody see that you can do that. And he dropped 37 tonight against the Los Angeles Lakers in 44 minutes. So, you know, you do that. Kale has been on the stretch that he's been like six straight games where he had 20 plus. And with Booker and then Paul now back, but Paul out, it's been him and Ayton. And he's just been doing it. And I already thought that he was on their radar for an All-Star. It was between him. Who was the other one I was thinking? It was between Kale. I can't remember who were the other ones that I had that were right there with him. Jeremy Grant, Kale, and Aaron Gordon. Like on the wings.
Yep.
Yeah, those are my other ones. All right. We appreciate everybody listening to our reserves. We did that for us, but we wanted you to hear it too. So we hope that we didn't bore you with that one. With the East reserves. I didn't have Harden. Tom did. I'm not mad at all. If Harden gets in over DeRozan or Siakam, whatever. I wouldn't surprise me one bit. Wouldn't surprise me one bit. All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Los Angeles. Check in with G on 97.5. G, what's up, man?
Hey, Devon, it's been a long time, man.
It has been, man. You've been busy making movies and TV shows and stuff.
Yeah, well, mostly movies, but yeah, I've been busy, so I won't complain that. When you're not hearing from me, it usually means good for the business side of things.
So Tom doesn't know, because he's like, G is a real actor, Tom. You know, he's been in stuff, and he's going to have me in a movie. I'm an extra.
See, man,
is that right?
Well, I mean, you got to choose what you want, man. You want to be in a movie, or you want me to try and get you with your girl? Which one you want, bro?
Well, that's first.
That's funny. Listen, real quick, if you go to Arizona, let me know, because it's looking like I'm going to be there. So,
okay, yeah, I'll let you know.
I'll know for sure tomorrow or Friday at the latest, but let me know if you come out. Let's make sure we catch up for sure.
All right, for real. We'll do.
Hey, listen, man. I sat back this year. It started when we won the last Super Bowl, but I really sat back over the last year, and I'm watching, and, you know, I get to look at it from afar. I'm not in it every day, even though I've been back a lot over the fall. I get to watch the maturation of Philadelphia. And what I mean by that is we're totally at ease with the fact that the national media hates us. We're not playing. Like, we got that Super Bowl. We got that kind of that albatross from around our neck. The Phillies did well this year. The Sixers have been competing every season for multiple seasons now. I love seeing that we're stepping into accepting that things can be good, that things that we're not being slighted by within the city, and the people outside the city that want to slight us, like, your opinion doesn't matter anyway.
Yeah, and that's what I've been trying to preach to everybody. Yeah, I know it's tough, especially when we have 2 weeks and they attack Philadelphia players so much. I could not care any less of what those national people say. I could not care one bit. I mean, the only one that gives me humor in it all and a little bit of frustration is the Chris Sims part, but apparently he even backed off and he couldn't help himself but to back off on the Jalen Hurts slander. Because, look, man, Philadelphia fans pay attention to their team more than anybody. I don't care how many tapes and videos and whatever, all 22s that those national people think they watch. Philadelphia fans, while they may not be the experts or the analysts, they pay attention. And
yeah, they can't. Those national analysts can't throw some garbage out.
I love watching the New Orleans Pelicans, but I can't tell whoever watched the New Orleans Pelicans more than what they see on a daily basis.
Yeah. Yeah, but what I'm saying is the Philadelphia fan also, we're pretty knowledgeable. So these national guys, they don't like that they can't throw some BS out and we'll just buy it, or we won't push back, because we know what's going on. And we've just gotten to the point where we realize that there is a bias and we're going to call you on it, but at the same token, like, you don't affect us. So, like, that's what I love about this team. People forget, you know, like you guys just said it, Sirianni didn't get any talk for Coach of the Year last year, and he did the same thing that somebody that got talked for this year is getting. And meanwhile, like, we didn't cry about it. They hated us all season. They didn't, Hurts wasn't the guy. The Eagles weren't going to win 9 games. Remember that? We weren't going to win 9 games at the beginning of the season. And every time we won a game, we were undefeated. They were like, oh, they're going to come. They're going to fall back to earth. They're going to fall back to earth. And then they really started even jumping on us when Jalen was hurt and we lost those 2 games in a row. Like, oh, the wheels will fall off. And it's like, come on, man. Our starters, what's he, 14-1 now? 15-1?
I think he's actually, he's 13, 14. So he's 16-1.
He's 16-1. Like, it's like, come on. Like, the guy just finds a way to win. Even when it's ugly, he finds a way to win. And any other team can say that, they'd be using words like gutsy. And they, you know, they fought back to get it. And with us, it's like, oh, we're faking. We're phoning. Man, look, what I love is the city's not really falling for that on the same level, if that makes sense.
Yeah. No, it's good to see. And I hope that remains, because there's no need. Don't even worry about them. Just pay attention.
Hey, I know you,
there are a lot of great stories.
I know we got to go, but listen, man, because we haven't talked in a while. Yo, because I know you know basketball probably better than anybody in the city on the radio. Yo, the Embiid Harden pick and roll may be the most unstoppable duo, like, right now in the game.
It's a problem.
It's unstoppable. It's amazing to watch that they, because people kept forgetting Harden is just now coming up. It's not even a full season with Embiid yet. It's not going to be a full season to the trade deadline.
Yep.
And they both missed games during that time. So it's just going to get better. I think quietly we got a bunch of little assets that we might be able to move something to improve that backup center position. We're probably going to lose a piece. It may be It may be Matisse. It may be Shake. It may be Korkmaz, who I'll be more than happy to ship out of town. But, you know, I think he's going to make – I think Morey's going to make a move to kind of shore up that backup center role, because that's really the biggest weakness I see on the team right now.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, G, we'll talk, man. If I'm out there, I will reach out.
Yeah, hit me up, brother. I'll DM you my info.
All right. You got it. Thanks, man. Really appreciate it. Gerald, Los Angeles. Tone, Newcastle, I want to give you all your time. I was going to bring you up, but I know we got to hit a break. I don't want Tom yelling at me. So when we come back, we'll get right to you. As soon as we come back from a commercial, music is playing. We'll come right to you. Then we'll get to Brian as we keep it going. And we still got to talk about the quarterback, Sean Payton stuff, because that's weird also while we talk about the Birds. All right, 610-632-0975. Come right back right here. Tuesday night, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Javon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, 1102, 97.5 The Fanatic. Javon Givens with you until midnight. Tom Alvord with us. We'll have the leftovers at 11:45 with Tom. One other name that I thought about, and I just saw him on TV because Denver and New Orleans are playing right now. CJ had a really, really good run when they were rolling. It's since faded, so I think he misses out again on an Austin.
That was one I was thinking about, but yeah, kind of fell off a little bit.
A little bit.
Good
yeah.
season though.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. But the team they're 26-25 now. When they were at the top of the West, then you're like, oh, CJ might finally get it. No, it's not going to happen. Too many others, not this time. All right, let's go as promised to Tony. We'll get to Sean Payton, D'Amico Ryans, new jobs, not stealing from the leftovers. We'll just talk about those. All right, let's go to Tony in Newcastle next. What's up, Tone?
Hey, Devon, how are you tonight?
Good, man. How you been?
Good, not too bad. Doing okay.
Good.
I guess what's been really frustrating, as it still continues, the disrespect that the Eagles are getting on any level. I mean, national level.
Man,
whatever.
Let it be. Let it. Look yeah. where your team is, man.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, it's funny because, you know, even today or yesterday, you know, they keep saying, oh, they played against a fourth string quarterback, fifth string, whatever. But then on the flip side, when you hear them talk about Kansas City, it's like, oh, well, you know, Mahomes had the bad ankle. They were missing their top two receivers. They were missing their running back. Like, there was, look what they accomplished. But, and then on the flip side, it's like, and Devon, can you imagine if instead of the Eagles, this was like Dallas or Tom Brady, they'd be like slobbering all over each other.
Oh, 100%.
Praising them left and right, you know.
Instead of talking about the storyline that is what the Eagles are, what the Chiefs are.
Right.
You know, it's the top two seeds in each conference going head to head. It doesn't matter how they got there. They got there.
Yeah. And it's just, hopefully, you know, a win in the Super Bowl will shut them up.
It won't. But don't worry about it, because it won't shut them up. And guess what? I don't care. I do not care. Now, look, sometimes I know it's going to get frustrating. We played some audio last week where it was a little frustrating from two media members nationally. And I was a little disappointed in one, because it was like, I like these guys. I was disappointed what they were saying. And then the other one was Chris Sims. But I listen, man, that's just what it's going to be. When we listened to the Rams last year taking on, who did the Rams beat last? Oh, Cincinnati. Everything was fine. No complaints, no nothing of how they got there, all that stuff. And, you know, nothing. But here, as you said, there's something wrong with how the Eagles got there. Nothing on the Kansas City side, because they beat Cincinnati in the AFC Championship game. But for the Birds, it was the fifth-string quarterback. And,
Right.
The other guy got hurt, and the Eagles had the easiest path. Well, as Ray Dunn said yesterday, they earned the number one seed, meaning home field advantage. Of course they are going to get the better opportunity to get to the Super Bowl, no matter the opponent and how it happened in sports where people get hurt.
Yeah, and that's what you work for all season.
Exactly. It's not. I said this yesterday. I don't know if you saw John Kruk, right, Tone?
Mm-hmm.
John Kruk tweeted out, he said, wait a minute. Exactly what you're saying. Wait a minute. So the Eagles, they helped the Giants beat Minnesota. they paid off Brock Purdy to get hurt just so they can win and have the easiest path of getting to the Super Bowl. He was like, let me get this straight. Because there are just excuses upon excuses upon excuses. And for me, again, I understand that I handle things a little differently than a lot of people. I'm just like, all right, whatever. Guess what?
Yeah.
At the end, when they're hoisting the trophy, I still don't care what anybody says because we'll be at the parade. They'll have two Super Bowls in 5 years. And that's what I'm looking forward to. I don't care that they give them credit because when they win, they will not give them credit.
Exactly. I just personally with this game, I mean, I don't have a score yet. It'll probably come next week.
Same. I think they'll win, but I just don't have a score yet. Yeah.
But I'd like to see them. I mean, especially after the San Fran game, if they would just continue to run the ball, just run the ball down their throat. I mean, you got Sanders, Scott, and Hurts has to run, and even like Gainwell. I mean, he might be like an X factor.
He was, in my opinion, he was the offensive MVP of the two games.
And I tell you what I'd like to see if they would do it. I mean, if Kansas City can go out there and do their merry-go-round when we did that one huddle, I'd like to see the Eagles maybe once or twice, even on a goal line stance, put in like a full house backfield, like the old wishbone. just have her, and that tells you how old I am, using the term wishbone. Put Hurts under center and put the three guys behind and just pound it and pound it. And, because, I mean, looking at his stats, he didn't have a great game, Jalen, but, he did what he had to do. The ball didn't get turned over. He managed the game, even though, he threw for like 120 yards and, it was like 15 completions. I mean, but, I mean, if they can run the ball like that and spread it around the way they did and, just run it down their throats and only throw when they have to, if it's, comes down to that.
Yep.
And we'll see what happens. So, it's just
I hear
10
you.
More days or 11 days, this week's not too bad. Next week is when it's going to start getting a little antsy.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. We got enough to keep us preoccupied right now, Tony.
Sure.
Thanks for the call, man. Enjoy
it. Devon.
I know you're going to hear a lot of crap from the national people, but don't sweat it.
Yeah, the hell with them.
Exactly. Thanks, man. Appreciate it, Tone. Yeah, again, you know me, man. I just be like, I'll send you stuff because it's comical, more so because it's comical, not because I care. It's just like, oh, this one's funny right here. Look at this one.
Yeah, look at that. I think it's worth acknowledging and laughing at, and like you can get it annoyed by it for a sec, but it's when you go overboard and like try and make a big deal about how much it actually means when you hear some of these national media people. That's all. Just like, temper how much your temper gets to you, I guess I could say.
Yeah, pretty much.
Two things, real quick. Mm-hmm. Kenny Gainwell, I saw on Twitter, plus 20,000 Super Bowl MVP. He's been the offensive MVP the last couple weeks.
Do you agree with me? These two games that they played, he's been the best offensive player, skill person.
Yeah, because they haven't passed much.
And yeah.
So he's been better than Sanders.
Sanders had a really good game
in
game one.
Had two touchdowns last week, too.
Right. But Gainwell had the over 100. And then last week, on Sunday, he was tremendous again.
Out of nowhere, too. Like, he wasn't getting – he'd get a couple carries every game or so.
They saw something.
I guess, man. But he had a really good first half of his rookie year last year, and then he kind of fell off a little bit.
So in the offseason, I don't know if me and you did this at all, but I remember in the offseason during the summer when I would join the John Kincaid Show, they asked for two players that maybe had to step up their games coming into this year, veteran, young player, whatever. And my two were Milton Williams defense and Kenneth Gainwell offense, because I just wasn't sure how they would use Miles Sanders. They didn't trust him, the fumbling, all that stuff.
Sure.
He had a great year.
right now. It's not that they don't want to give Miles Sanders the ball. When Kenneth Gainwell is getting the call, he is producing in a big way. He's been phenomenal. Corey Clement almost got the MVP in that Super Bowl.
Listen, plus 20,000. $5. And for 95% of the season, you would have been wrong. But right now, it's like you're seeing something. They saved them.
And guess what?
I don't care
who gets it.
No.
Just win the game.
And protect the football.
And protect the football.
No, I don't need any
fumbles.
A couple
times he got hit, and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Hang on to the football. And he was fine.
Also, which I don't like how the NFL and the QB sneaks. Now it helps the Eagles, how you can just push guys in the back. I think it's kind of dumb, and it's not really fair to the D-line. I don't understand it. Why don't you just...
Hurst touchdown? Well, in general, but yes.
Well, Tony said it. He was like, just get one of those big guys back there.
Three guys in the back.
Why wouldn't you put Cam Jurgens back there as the fullback? Yo,
we've seen it before.
Do it for a QB sneak. You need 1 yard on 4th and 1 on the goal.
That's your fullback right there.
And just, you don't have to give him ball. Just have Hurts QB sneak and just have this 300-pound dude just push him
out
with all that lower body weight. Like, I don't know why other teams don't do that.
I used to say that about Maya Lotta before he became the starting left tackle. People wanted to give him the ball because of the rugby stuff. I'm like, no, how about you just put him as a lead blocker for short yardage situations?
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah, and now he's too valuable as your
now
left
you
tackle
can't do it.
Yeah. With all
well,
that money.
Well, listen, I mean, you probably could just because of the simple fact that Andre Dillard does play well on the left side when he comes into the game, and you have guys like Cam Jurgens, Driscoll that you can bring in for those big goal line short yardage packages. Yeah, Opetta, that they can do that. So... Kenny Gainwell have been balling.
I'm excited to see some of the potential play designs in this game. Because Andy Reid, a wizard when it comes to the trick plays, the motion, and especially near the goal line. Sirianni and Steichen have done a good job of it as well, whether it's like the fake QB sneak, HB toss to the side, or fake QB sneak inside, and then he bounces out to the left behind Mailata.
Yeah.
Really interested if we see a couple like cool.
He always does something.
Especially, I mean, last game of the season.
Sky Moore with some speed, Valdez, Scantling, Jerick McKinnon maybe get something.
Sure, but even the Eagles too, you know?
Eagles side, defensively, here's what you got to pay attention to, and I know Brian knows this, and we come to Brian next. The shovel pass. Andy Reid created it. Brian Westbrook mastered it. They do it with the tight end too. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was one that was successful with, like, rookie year. Got to be prepared for it. We know it's coming. Got to be prepared for that.
Yeah. It's almost like it's simple. Keep the Chiefs out of the red zone, especially short in the red zone, because there's just when they get deep in their playbook and an Andy Reid playbook, it's very tough to stop them. So that's my game plan. John, again, if you're listening, stop the Chiefs from getting in the red zone. There you go. Good luck.
Well, the goal is always 20s. You can get 20 to 20. The goal is don't let them do anything once they get to the 20. So let's see. Let's go to Brian in Plymouth Meeting here next. What's up, B?
Hey, D. How's it going?
By the way, Jokic at the half. 11 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists.
I thought it was 6 assists.
Or 6 assists, sorry. 8 rebounds, 6 assists.
So congratulations, Joe. It's a little premature, but as long as Jokic stays alive, I'm pretty
He's
sure.
He's got 24 minutes in the second half to play.
Well, I mean, and also his teammates can knock down shots. I had a LeBron. I tried to do like a LeBron triple double inside of a single game parlay a couple weeks ago, and he had 0 assists at the half. And I'm like, wow, his teammates stink. Like LeBron, like that is so sad. One of the best passers in history has 0 assists. That, you know. Wow.
Well, right now I was just telling Tom, since he's now 100. Away from the top assist record of all time in all-time assist history, he's going to continue to keep passing like he always does.
Well, but he's close to points too, right?
He's 85 points and 100, so he's going to do both. He's going to try to do both, obviously, but the points will come faster.
I saw today, was he going to break it in Milwaukee?
Yeah.
Which is that, do they have...
Let me look at their schedule.
One game.
Let me look at the Lakers' schedule because they are... They got the Pacers next,
and then they have
New Orleans. No, so it's Pacers next, New Orleans. Milwaukee is at home.
Oh, he's going to have to actually turn down the gears.
So points-wise, he's going to do like 20, 20, and 20. And since he's 85, he's going to do it against Milwaukee, unless he just turns it up in Indiana and New Orleans, but does so because Milwaukee is a TNT game.
Yeah, well, If I had known that there were three games before, I probably would have jumped on that prop. But anyway.
Yep. Yep. So let's monitor that. Assist and points. And after the Milwaukee game, they go back on the road, Golden State, which is an ABC game. So he might – it's going to take longer with the assists. We know that.
Well, yeah, and that's a less prestigious thing. You know, I mean, his he's
– he's going to do both in one season. That's amazing.
Well, sure, but I mean, his
that's great, amazing.
The thing about LeBron from the jump is that he's a basketball genius and always got his teammates involved at the expense of his own scoring. But – you know,
because he probably would have.
I assume Stockton has the assist record. I don't even know for sure.
Yeah, I think it is Stockton. Yep.
Well, anyway, great win by the Eagles. It was awesome. You guys listening to the national media are doing it wrong, because what you have to do is just keep celebrating until noon and not pay attention to any of them. And then, and then you were talking about Gainwell a second ago. I've been fairly critical of not Gainwell himself, but the it seems like he had a good start to last year because they were force feeding him the ball, and it was like it's this shiny new toy that you're overusing. But I could, for an undersized guy like that, as he grows into his mid 20s and just naturally puts on weight, he was incredibly productive in college. In a way, it's similar to. I mean, I hate to make this comparison, but it's similar to B. West, who, I mean, in his case, it was because of the knee injuries that scared everyone away. But he was so incredibly productive in college. That was my favorite Andy Reid draft pick of all time. And
mine too.
You know, just because he was so productive. I was at the University of Delaware. I can care less about Blue Hens football, but I was well aware of who Westbrook was. And it seemed that was like the steal of the century.
And I remember the story of with the Walter football, the awards,
mm-hmm.
and they purposely sat them next to each other at the award show, the banquet. and Reed got to know Brian a little bit more. Now, Brian didn't tell me this. This was a story that was out way before I even knew him personally. That was just always the story that they sat them together purposely next to one another at the Maxwell Club Awards.
Well, and I was also just thinking along the lines of, like, an amazing punt returner, like, watching what Brian Mitchell had done for us, and, like, maybe, like, a Dave Meggett third down back type thing. I had no expectation of him being the best running back in the league, which he was in 2006.
Yeah.
I mean, what a player.
Yep.
Somebody
asked me the other day, do I realize, you know, because we're so close now, and, you know, I know you well enough where I'm not saying this as like a humble brag or anything. It's just, you know, I've known him for 6 years now. And we become really, really close. And it's tough because I don't even look at him like that anymore. I know who he is. And when we're out and people are coming up to him, he's so great with so many people. I know he's so, you know, he was so good. But it's almost as if I don't even look at him like that anymore. It's crazy.
Sure. I'm just another human being.
Yeah.
We all put our pants on one leg at a time.
And that's the thing. Once I learned that he did so, and he's like tremendously just an even better person, it makes you just appreciate him that way.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, not that I know, but I kind of got a feel for what you're saying.
Yep.
So yeah, that's let's move on to. So it wasn't a date, but
yes.
When it 2001 or 2002, it had to be 2001 because the Phillies were competitive. But speaking of, like, Scott Rolen, meh. Why we got good in 2001? Jimmy Rollins' rookie year. But I didn't have TV service in my place. I would only get TV in the fall for football and then turn it off so I could be productive. Mm-hmm. Go out to a local establishment. Talking to the bartender, like, yeah, man, it's really boring around here. This is in the Abington area, not Abington proper. And he's like, oh, the two girls working here are going out afterwards if you want to go out with them. So I get in the car with this girl, and, you know, we're just kind of chatting because we're on the way to another bar in Chestnut Hill. And she's like, oh, I don't drink. And I'm like, why? She's like, well, because of all the accidents.
All like, of the what?
All the accidents.
All of the accidents. Oh.
Like, not a couple. Not
all of them.
how many accents did you talk about? And I think she also dropped that her child's father was watching because she was going to let her hair down that night.
Okay.
So it's like strike one, strike two. Then we get to the bar and we get out of the car and she's like, oh, wait, we got to meet. My parents are coming out of the place across the street. We got to meet my parents. I'm like, what? I just met you 30 minutes ago.
I would say no.
Yeah, Tom, no.
But I'm
tell them I said hello.
Yeah, right. No, I mean, what else could I do?
I know.
I met him, but and she, I'm certain she's not listening to Sports Talk Radio 25 years later or
yeah,
22,
that's
whatever
funny.
It is.
Yeah,
but yeah, she was a nice girl. It just wasn't the time in my life for that. That
yeah, that's thing. Funny. That's a good story.
Anyway, all right. Well, I'll talk to you during the week, and let's go Sixers.
Yes, sir.
Get
back, back at
on
it
track.
Tomorrow. Back at it tomorrow. Thanks, man. We'll talk to you. All right.
All right, later.
Absolutely. No, thank you. But, of course, you can't be rude. They're right there. You can't say, let me run this way. No, you just got to say hello and all of that. But 30 minutes ago. And yeah, the red flag is all of the accidents. Not, hey, you know what, Brian, I had two accidents and, you know, it was unfortunate. Everything's been good since. All. That's a big number. It's a big number.
All I'm not going to be here.
Who is that?
Magic. Magic Johnson. Remember that? When, one,
oh,
when,
he,
was leaving
when he was leaving
LA.
The Lakers for the and general manager.
They asked him about something, and he said,
I'm not going to be here.
That's what Brian should have said.
Oh, man. All right. Final segment on the other side. A lot of good Eagles talk. This has been fun. We'll be back tomorrow, of course, at 6 o'clock for Sixers Magic Game 2 of this two-game miniseries. And we come back, we wrap things up on this Tuesday night. Leftovers at 11:45 with Tom. We'll talk about the two new coaches. D'Amico Ryan's to the Texans, 6-year deal. Yeah, 6 years. And Sean Payton to the Broncos. We'll talk about it next. Big storylines there, right here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone.
Devon Givens. 97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Final segment, 11:30 on this Tuesday night, 97.5, The Fanatic. I was just looking at this, our schedule, because we have Sixers two more times this week, and of course, 3 more days, but Sixers 2 more times. And I was looking at the schedule. I was looking at, because I wasn't sure if I had to work Saturday or not. I was like, I don't know. I was just looking, just to make sure. And then I looked at it and I said, man, then we'll be in Super Bowl week. John Kincaid show, they'll be out there. They'll be representing. And all of you will be out there. Philly Sports Trips, putting their group together. It's going to be a good time. It's going to be a good time. Got the Sixers on Sunday, so I do have to work this weekend. Sixers on Sunday. We don't have any football. Is the Pro Bowl this weekend? I'm not watching that. Who cares? No one cares about the Pro Bowl anymore. It's not a big deal. So yeah, there's that. It'll be here soon enough. And before we know it, Jokic, 13-10-8. 13-10-8. 4 minutes into the third quarter. So he's got a double-double. He just needs 2 more assists to get that triple-double.
I'm a hater tonight. I hope it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
That's just me.
I want to look at the. I sent it to Brian, so I want to open up this guy's Twitter account and see.
He needed LaMelo,
LeBron.
LeBron and Jokic.
And Jokic.
And LeBron, by the way, first triple double of the season.
How lucky. And his number wasn't even. LaMelo's was plus 17. LeBron's was plus 14. Jokic was plus 145.
Which is ridiculous. Just how good that dude is right now. Not as good as
that. And there was no odds boost or anything. He's just straight up. DraftKings, $5.
Now you know everyone's going to start doing it.
Oh, yeah, and then it won't work.
Yeah, and then it's never going to work.
Yeah.
Like when I do it.
Yeah. Let me see. I'm just trying to catch up. We are so close, he says, in all caps.
And it's a close game, you said, right?
Yeah, 70-67 Denver right now.
Yeah, I mean, so it's different. You always worry.
He just picked up another assist.
Did he really?
Yes. He's 10-9 now.
Wow. You always worry about the blowouts when it comes to triple doubles, trying to bet those and stuff.
But you're playing the Pelicans, so you wouldn't think it's a blowout. You think it's going to be a close one.
But yeah, that's some good luck there. You go halfway to a Super Bowl ticket, man.
Yep. Let me see.
If only you put $10 on it, you'd be going Super Bowl.
Yeah, my man put $5. He didn't know what he was doing.
Or did he?
Yeah, he has the ball now, and no basket right there. But guess what?
20 more minutes.
19 more minutes to play.
Crazy.
Yeah, you know that's happening. All right. Let's start with Sean Payton because he has the quarterback thing with the one fella, Russell Wilson. If he adjusts his offense, first of all, I think a lot of it was Hackett. Let's just be honest. They brought him in thinking he was going to get Aaron Rodgers. And instead, they got what they got. It didn't work. That's why they moved on very fast. Very, very fast. He's going to do something to make them better. The defense is already phenomenal. You do have weapons outside and your running back. When he comes back from the ACL and he rehabs and all that stuff, you have Javonte Williams, a young back. You have a young tight end. You just have to have your quarterback on the same page. He had Drew Brees at the end of his career. Things still worked. I think he will. I think today, talking about it, Tom, he'll fix it. He will simplify
it. What does fix it mean, though? Fix it a 500 record or fix it playoffs?
Well, first of all, they're in a tough division.
Very tough.
And their offense may have just gotten better. Los Angeles, the Chargers. We already know about Kansas City. Vegas, they're switching to a new quarterback, so we'll find out what all of that is. But if I were to say it right now, I would say over 500. Certainly over 500. How they get there, how far over 500, I don't know. But I think he makes things better for that team. He knows what he's doing, number one. Hackett just didn't seem to know what he was doing. I take it all the way back to game one against Seattle. You had two trips into the 5-yard line, and you came away with 0 points. That was his fault. Russell Wilson did a couple of silly things in there, but take the points. It's a close game. Take the points. So that's where I think it'll all work out there for them. Jokic has the 10th assist, by the way. So good job by that guy.
Very nice.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So I think it's going to work. I think it's going to work. What do you think?
I think it's a last ditch effort to make this thing work. You traded everything for Russell Wilson, and now Ari Myrov, the My Sports Update guy, the Broncos will end up trading 3 first-round picks, 3 second-round picks, plus additional assets to acquire Russell Wilson and Sean Payton, which is crazy when you break it down that way. I can't see Russ being this broken. Like, before the injury last year, he was good. And then he hurts the hand and he tries to rush back.
Are you talking about Seattle or Denver?
Seattle. Yes, Seattle. Okay. So last season.
Okay.
Yeah, he hurts the hand, thumb injury, and he was good before then. And then he rushes back, tries to make the playoff. Nope. And he was throwing deep ball as well. Rushes back, tries to make the playoffs, and it ends up hurting him down the stretch, and he's not able to make it. I can't see him being as cooked as he looked last year.
I don't think he is.
But it just was
what it was, what we saw. We saw it. We knew it was trending like straight flat line. Just that's what it was. It wasn't going up. It wasn't going down. Some games were like, oh, my gosh, he can't get any worse than last week, and he would. But for the most part, we knew that he just wasn't going to be good.
At the same time, though, like at least like Rodgers wasn't good last year. Brady wasn't good last year. But you saw flashes. You didn't see a ton of flashes from Russell Wilson. And his completion percentage was bad, and his deep ball was bad. And that's what he's known for, is his deep ball. So I respect the Saints, or excuse the Saints. I respect the Broncos for doing it, I guess. But that is a huge haul to give up. And if this doesn't work, this sets your franchise back years, because Russell Wilson's locked up for the next 5 years.
I think it was a lot. I definitely believe it was a lot. But I also think they'll be better. They couldn't be any worse than what they were last season.
They need to be playoffs or just out of the playoffs last week of the year next year for it to be a success and trending in the right direction. Because if it's 500 and that's a tough division, as you mentioned, which both the Chargers and the Chiefs probably going to be double-digit wins. If it's double digits, but double digits. If it's over 500, hovering around 500, but it's no real threat, then...
And here's the other thing.
And he's only getting older, Russell Wilson.
They lost a lot of close games.
Because their defense is so good.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was something
I think they'll still be in it. I think Sean Payton will make it work that way, where he will simplify a lot of stuff. He will make things easier to get to those outside receivers. But also with the running game, Williams may not be ready right away to be himself because of the ACL. But they'll have someone else there. I think he will figure it out. But you're right. Close games.
It was something like if they scored more than 21 points, they would have had like a 10-3 record at one point through the season. I remember reading the stat exactly. But if they scored more than 3 touchdowns in these games, they're winning a lot of these games. But you're right. It's probably short, checkdowns, slants with these really talented. So Sutton and Judy are both really talented dudes.
They can turn it up. Yards after the catch.
Javonte is one of the better.
Let's not forget about KJ Hamler.
Yeah, KJ Hamler as well. Yeah, Javonte, one of the better backs in the league. Hopefully he gets back healthy. That's why we thought it was going to work this season, because there's so much talent around him to go along with that defense.
That's why
so
I drafted him.
Very risky, but I get why they did it.
Yep, absolutely. By the way, I didn't say this too before we get to D'Amico Ryans. The guy who hit on this parlay, he asked. He did this at 7:24 Eastern, so that was before the Lakers-Knicks game, which started at 7:30. The other two games follow: Charlotte 8:10, Denver 10:00. He asked if anybody else wanted in.
No one did it.
Anyone else?
There's got to be somebody.
Just a little TD Lotto. That's what he said.
Is he like a betting guy? Does he have a lot of followers, or no? It's just some random dude.
No, it's just he's a writer for an NBA bet. Yes, I'm sorry. NBA writer and video for Action Network and NBA Bet. He's an attorney also.
So he needs the money. Great.
Cash That Podcast is one of the Twitter handles where he's a host of. I don't know what his history is, but he got this one. Caught my attention. I like the D'Amico Ryans. I know we talked about this one a little bit more too earlier. I like the D'Amico Ryans. 6 years does seem like a long time, but guess what? Good for him. Because if it doesn't work out, he's got 6 years. He's good to go. So I don't have much there except for he has some young pieces. He has he's going to get a quarterback, if that's the way we think they're going to go. They're going to get a quarterback.
Which I'd be shocked if they didn't with that pick, number two.
Got a running back. You need some weapons on the outside. I don't think Brandon Cook stays there. And the defense has shown some stuff. So, you know, Stingley may not be a one, but at worst, he's a two.
Ton of upside.
And he's got time to fix it. He's got time to fix it. So I like him going there. I don't know how close Gannon was actually to getting that job, but I do like D'Amico Ryans getting that gig.
So, good for him for getting it. Everyone all over Twitter today, it's how good of a dude D'Amico is and how it's just like you knew he was going to be a coach even when he was playing here. Very well respected. So good for him for getting an opportunity. I like the situation because you're right. You have Damian Pierce there who showed flashes last year. You have players on the defense, Derek Stingley. You have a number two pick, so whatever quarterback they want. That's also a team that fired 3 head coaches in 3 years and hired Lovie Smith last year. When you hire a head coach, don't you want him for at least 3 seasons? Yeah. And they can him right away. So that worries me a little bit. I don't trust the front office a ton, but it wouldn't shock me, and I said this to you last night off air, if this is similar to what Robert Saleh did with the Jets, where he builds that defense, and this is like a top 10 defense a year, 2 years from now or something like that. He's just got to figure out the offensive end, the quarterback side of it, where if C.J. Stroud turns into Zach Wilson, we're looking at a similar situation where your offense just can't get it done. He hits on that quarterback, and that defense is what the 49ers defense has been the past couple of years since Ryan's has been there. Texans have the potential to be lethal if they get it right. So I respect it.
Yeah.
It's a good hire.
The franchise
for
I don't love because the owner is just whatever. And you're right. Back-to-back seasons, they fired coaches 1 year. They just out. Culley and now Smith. Give him a chance. I think when you give this guy those 6 years, the history that he has with the franchise as an all-time linebacker, I think he gets that time.
That seems long to me.
Not
a lot of times like head coaching contracts get leaked because they don't have to leak them. But like, I feel like it's normally 3 or 4 years. 6 years, they're giving it all to this dude. Hey, figure it out, man.
Because maybe it's because of those two guys there, but they gutted him and got him out. And the agent did a good job. Like, look, we know what you just did. We're not doing that. So if you want us, here we go. And Denver was hot on the trail. Hey, Houston. If you want this, Denver just offered us 5 years.
Add an extra year to it.
There you go.
Want me that bad.
There you go.
How about, because we didn't mention, Denver, Ian Rappaport comes out that Sean Payton wasn't their first or second choice at head coach.
For
Sean Payton.
Uh-huh.
It was DeMeco first.
Yeah.
And Jim Harbaugh. They were going heavy after.
Oh, yeah.
According to Ian Rappaport. So,
Didn't he already say no?
Yeah.
But I know anything can change your mind, but.
Sure, money. You give him a 6-year deal in the NFL, that might change your mind too. But if that was true, and there's been conflicting reports between Rappaport and Schefter, the fact that you're giving out all those picks and all that money, $20 million a year, I think he's going to get to your third option. What does that say about like the front office there and how they're running stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. How about that? Interesting. All right. Some confusion on the assist record. LeBron is more than 5,000 assists behind Stockton. But they said he's, 100 away here for that one. That's Mark from Mark saying that from Conshohocken. Yeah. Hate my sports teams on Twitter. Devon, I forgot to mention I haven't shaved since Harden's first game as a Sixer.
I respect that. That is
last
awesome.
March. Continue through the Phillies and the Eagles season. If the Eagles win the Super Bowl, does that mean I can't shave till they don't win the Super Bowl again or never due to the success of the Eagles, Phillies, and Sixers? No. If they win it, I think you keep it, carry it through the Sixers season, and that's where you can decide to shave it.
If the Sixers win, though. If Eagles win, the Sixers win.
Both of them?
You're looking like, yeah, you're looking
both?
Like. I think.
Because the Phillies lost.
They did. That's true.
So that's what I'm saying. You have done your job of keeping the beard through the Phillies, Harden first in March. Phillies get there. Eagles get there. Hopefully they win. And if they win, keep it through the Sixers. Because now you're 1-1. Or technically because the Sixers playoffs was cut short in the second round. But you're 1-1. You keep it.
Yeah, I think go through Sixers. Whatever happens this season when it comes to the Sixers, then you can shave it off regardless.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, Scoop_Animal, Mike says, man, Devon, took me back. Chad Lewis, that just took me real back. Think about it. Go from him to Celek to Ertz to Goddard. Been drafting good tight ends for 20 years now. It's pretty good.
It's not bad.
Yeah. Yeah. And Martin also said, by the way, that's a hard no on the bicycle through the drive-thru. Tried it a couple of times.
I respect it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. It's 11:46. Let's do it. Let's get to it. Let's go.
Let's go.
Leftovers.
Let's do it. All right. We are going to start. We're gonna stick a lot of NFL in these leftovers.
We're going
to start with the Pro Bowl. The lovely and
all the people that they have to replace the Eagles,
yes,
and Chiefs with.
Yes. The highly anticipated Pro Bowl, some would say. Some, not most, but some. None of the original AFC quarterbacks are participating. That's Mahomes, Burrow, and Allen. Trevor Lawrence, Derek Carr.
Mahomes, Burrow, and Allen all bailed out?
Yes.
So Trevor Lawrence, Derek Carr. And what helmet is he wearing?
Raiders, technically, I guess. You have to.
Wear an NFL helmet.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Like Rob Lowe in the
white
stands.
White helmet with right. Yeah.
Tyler Huntley.
The third one?
Tyler Huntley. So we're going to stick with Carr first. In Vegas, so this could be Carr's final farewell, to Vegas. First Pro Bowl for Carr since 2017, his fourth total.
He was really good that 2017.
Ton of potential he showed. Lawrence, it'll be his first, but Huntley, also his first.
That's absurd.
Tyler Huntley started four games this season.
Give it to Kenny Pickett if that's the case.
658 total pass yards. Jalen gets that in two games. 109.7 yards per game. A 77.2 QBR. It is the fewest touchdown passes for a Pro Bowl quarterback ever. He has three interceptions and two passing touchdowns this season.
Goes on his resume.
Yeah, it does. Memories. The voting is done by the players, apparently, for alternates on the article I was reading from CBS. Thoughts on Huntley getting the nod, and thoughts on the Pro Bowl in general, because it's just
brutal. The Pro Bowl in general, I've stopped caring about the Pro Bowl except for them being acknowledged for the Pro Bowl. When I was a kid, it was must-see TV. It was like the NBA All-Star weekend. You had to watch in Hawaii. Everybody was playing. They were hard-hitting, deep passes. It was fun. It was really fun to watch. And then it wasn't. It's at some point in the 2000s, like mid to late 2000s, it wasn't anymore. And so I haven't watched it in years. I had to ask you, was it this weekend? Because it is the week before the Super Bowl. But yeah, I don't care anymore. And as far as the Huntley part, again, Kenny Pickett started a lot of games. Kenny Pickett almost had them in the playoffs. I would have said Kenny Pickett, but as you said, the players voted, so they're not gonna put that rookie in there because he wasn't a standout rookie. I would have chosen Kenny Pickett over Huntley four games.
Yeah, just crazy. I mean, it does suck because the Pro Bowl at least was watchable when I was a kid. It was. I mean, we always see that video leak around this time with Sean Taylor just going after that. What was a punter or quarterback? I forget what it was.
Yeah,
and just laying the dude out. They got to get away with the game. I don't care about this flag football. Like, it's going to take one wrong twist of a knee or whatever it is. No one's going to watch it anyway. Get rid of the game. Just do cool skill competitions, whether it's 40 times, whether it's one-handed catches. There's enough cool things you can do with football. Don't force this game down our throats because nobody's going to watch it. Nobody is going to watch it.
No, nobody. And real fast, LeBron is going to be in top five with the assist thing that we were talking about, not the top. Overall, top five.
Yeah, I did. I meant to say that too.
As far one more thing, like Jalen Hurts not being there, there are probably a ton of guys in the NFC that are deserving as far as, you know, taking his spot. Give it to Ian Book. He's not playing.
That's sure, if you say so. We'll go with that. Yeah, good luck, Ian. We're gonna head over to the Super Bowl. Where you may be familiar.
I'm familiar with that. Looking forward to it.
The Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs facing off in Super Bowl 57 in Glendale, Arizona. A little bit of news on the jerseys. NFL alternates, the home team every single year. The home team gets not only the home locker.
Eagles
are
the home team because of the best record in the league, right?
This says they alternate every single year.
Okay,
that's what this says.
All right.
So, as long as CBS is doing the research.
That's not fair.
It's not.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
Yeah, but, okay, go ahead.
So, home team of the Super Bowl, obviously, it's a neutral site, unless it was Tampa Bay a couple years ago, but that never happens. Neutral site, the home team gets the home locker, and they get to pick the uniform, so they have first dibs, so the Eagles do this year. Midnight green.
Gotta go green.
Midnight green. All previous Super Bowls have been green. The two were midnight green before, in the 2000s. And then Kelly Green back in 1980, of course, when they were there.
It was with the white one. It was the green one.
Yep. Visiting Chiefs are sporting their white away jerseys. Kansas City has worn red in their last three Super Bowls. First time wearing white. A little bit of bad news, though. In 56 Super Bowls, the team that wore white, 36 wins. Non-white teams, 20 wins.
Well,
so going off this.
Let's make it 22.
That's 21.
That's their problem.
21.
Make it 21.
There you go.
That's their problem.
Thoughts on the midnight green?
Love it. That's my favorite. Midnight green, white pants. Game time.
Got to do it.
Let's go.
Last one.
Let's do it.
Virginia high school basketball coach fired after impersonating a 13-year-old junior varsity player. She was a 22-year-old coach.
How did she get away with it? Was she short?
Yes, she was short. And there's videos of it circulating. You can look it up. And she was fired. And those are tonight's leftovers. Do you respect it or no?
No. Yeah. Nah. High school. How old was that?
13? JV.
No. You got to go varsity. Then I might respect it.
Yeah.
Then I might respect it. You can't do that.
Like the I am 12 from bench warmers. That.
Yeah.
That's what she shows to get out there.
Come on.
Can't be doing that. Come on now.
You can't do that. All right. Great stuff, man. Great stuff. Oh, Brian said, wait a minute. Whoa. Pro Bowl was never hard hitting. And Sean Taylor almost destroying Brian Mormon was the last one. Good call, Tom. Yeah. All right, that'll do it for us. We'll be back tomorrow after the Sixers together, but I'll get started at 6 o'clock following the best show ever. Everybody have a great rest of your Tuesday. Thanks for spending it with us. Good night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.